about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If I may interject a thought.
Please do.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Corinne Bale Rea. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale Rea. Wow. An Corinne Bale Rea. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. An Let's do it again.
You know what makes me sad?
You do!
And now.
Hello. Just wanted to make sure you had a message to come back to. Here it is. La 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 la. La 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 la. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah! Let's eat!
Our feature presentation.
As heard to the broadcast,
first time come back,
Corinne Bale Rea.
Come on, it's the first day back from vacation. How can you be late? What's up?
Well, it is raining, and the 101 was closed at Havenhurst for a little while, so maybe got
this
stuck
not,
in that.
This is not how you want to start a new year, though, is it?
It's not how I want to start a new year.
It's how I want Kevin to start.
Unbelievable. Oh, well, perhaps he'll give us a call if he remembers the phone number. We'll come on in. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are back. It is 2011. Boy, it's nice to see Lisa May.
It's nice to see you too, Bean.
What a sight for sore eyes you are, my dear.
Thank
my
you. Yeah, it was a long time, huh?
Lisa's the one I miss when vacation rolls around. I got to be honest. I stay in touch with the king, and I stay in touch with Mike. You know, we chat, but Lisa I don't talk to. And then I desperately, wait, what's that voice I just heard?
I talk to Lisa. Let me tell you that right now.
Pillow talk.
Telling you about it every other day.
Oh, pillow talk.
At least every other day.
Well, we can tell who did not make a New Year's resolution to quit cutting it so close at work every day.
You know, it has to be, if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, it has to be something that's within your grasp.
You got to know your limit.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So I didn't even try. I just said, you know what? I'm going to be late like last year.
You could leave 3 minutes earlier every day.
Yeah, I know.
And eliminate all of this.
Logically, that makes
sense.
3 minutes.
That's it.
I was thinking about this over the holiday, too, but it isn't just work. I mean, when I go to a movie, I miss the first two previews.
I've actually seen you come into a movie theater.
Right. I mean,
the movie was starting.
It's everything. It's my, you know, my family has something. Everybody. I don't know. I really don't know what it is.
I think it's that you don't ever want to be bored. And if you're early, you get bored.
I do get bored pretty easily.
And I've been late for things because I thought, I can't be too early.
Right. But there's a difference between that and...
Well, yeah, but you're extreme.
I could see work in that maybe the last thing you want to do is leave your house and go outside. It's cold. You don't want to go to work. I get that. But when you're going to a movie, it seems like that's something you'd be excited about, looking forward to. You want to get there so you can get a good seat.
Yeah.
A lot of incentive maybe for that because it's something you're choosing to do.
Yeah, you'd think.
So why not get there early?
You would think. So, you know, the movie starts at 5:30. I get there at 5:29, and I need food.
Right.
So,
and a ticket.
And it's, you know, now you can get the ticket ahead of time online.
Well, that's true. You can do that
with the ArcLight, but and a seat. But, I don't understand that about myself.
But that just means that you give yourself less time to get there because you've already got a seat.
Well, I guess. But, again, like Bean says, I mean, really, it would take such a small change. It would take 3 minutes would change my life.
Yeah.
Change everything. Yep. You would not have to run from the car into the studio every morning.
Yeah.
You could walk.
It would help if my key card worked. That would help. I can tell you that right now.
Did you actually have one?
I did. I had one. It's the wrong one. I was standing out in the rain pushing a little button. Ring, ring, ring.
That
Look,
doesn't work.
Chip, That's our phone screener, answers it, and she goes, hello. I don't know why she's Dave. So then I had to have her run out and get me. So good times.
I'm just always impressed whenever Kevin's alive in the new year. So the fact that he's here, that's enough. All
also,
right, real quick.
Also, by the way, I'm not making any kind of New Year's resolution about my key card. Because
I think that's wise.
I'm not going to set myself up for failure. Yeah. That's the way I've decided. The only thing I'm going to do are stuff that I can actually see myself following through on.
Didn't we one time go around the room and realize that almost everyone else has had the same key card 11 years since we moved into the building?
Well, not me, but most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do lose them more than most, if that's what you're saying.
I think you have a record.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my new hero, Rafael Escamilla, and then we'll talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. He was on a flight from Salt Lake City to Lewiston, Idaho, and sitting next to a high school cheerleader, a 17-year-old high school cheerleader sitting next to him.
All right.
Apparently, that was more than he could handle, because in the police report that followed after he was arrested when the flight landed, she told the cops that she was seated directly next to the man. She chatted briefly with him when the flight began. Mid-flight, she's reading 17 magazine. She spots something moving out of the corner of her eye.
Oh, no.
I looked over, she said in her handwritten statement, and I could clearly see the man's penis going side to side under the tray table that was down.
Because of the magazine she was reading?
Or because of the 17-year-old high school cheerleader that he was chatting with. Anyway, he had, according to the girl, had one hand on his laptop, which was on top of the tray table, and the other was under the tray table.
On his lap.
She waited 2 or 3 minutes, and then she was, who was traveling alone, by the way, got up to go to the bathroom. When she came out, she decided not to sit next to the guy again. So she went and found an open seat on the plane and sat next to a woman and said the guy up there was creeping her out. So they ended up arresting him, and this is my favorite part of the whole story. Look, this is just the standard, you're masturbating on a plane. We've all done that. We've all seen that, right? Here's what makes the story awesome, though. When confronted by the cops, Mr. Escamilla denied exposing himself. No, no, that's not what happened at all. I spilled Tabasco sauce on my penis, and I was itchy. That's what I was doing. It was the worst itch in the world. I was trying to be discreet so that nobody would see, but I was itchy from Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Yeah.
Couldn't get up and go to the bathroom and wash it off?
Well, that's what they asked him. They said his story started to fall apart almost immediately. Not the least of which is, how did he get Tabasco sauce in his penis and not on his pants?
That is another good question.
That's a good point. But, this is funny because, to me, it seems like we've progressed in every other way except for trying to get out of, explaining away masturbation.
Yes. Yes.
In that particular case, look, it itched. That's all we can, that's the best we can come up with after hundreds of years.
He even, in his statement to the police, he even used the words rub and massage to describe how he was addressing the incredible itch. And the police officer also noted, by the way, that during the time of the interview after the flight, that the man never showed any obvious sign that he had an itch in this particular part of his body.
Well, he scratched it, Bean.
It would have helped him, though, if he would have kept it up, is what I'm saying.
Wow.
By the way, final note.
I think the last thing that guy needs to do is keep it up.
Maybe so. Maybe it's time to give it up. Final note, by the way. This will surprise you. He is a physical therapist who holds a PhD, worked as a professor at Duke University and Cal State University.
All right.
How about that?
Wow.
I like it.
So anyway, tremendous mugshot, too, if you want to check it out. It's at the Smoking Gun. But that's the 2011 Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day, Mr. Rafael Escamilla. Well done, sir.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
2011.
Nice.
Come on.
Yeah. Omar working overtime.
We're ready or what?
It's awesome.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling it.
Do we have a list?
Well, yeah, we have a list. What are you, crazy? It's not in front
of me. Does this mean you just sent Mike out to get the list?
I don't have the list in front of me, but we have a list. Okay, here we go. Sorry, it's been a while. Hopefully you have highlights of Dick Clark's New Year's Eve.
I feel like I'm listening to Dick Clark on New Year's Eve right now.
Yeah. That's always
great. Yeah, they trotted him out again one more time because there's nothing better than ringing in the new year with sadness by watching an 80-year-old stroke victim on television. That did happen.
It really is just shocking. You just go, look, okay, he had his time in the spotlight. He can still own and produce. He doesn't have to put himself on camera.
Doesn't have to be on camera, right.
But when he puts himself on camera, then people like us, we don't have any choice. It's not like we sit around and go, hey, let's not talk about Dick Clark on New Year's Eve. That's not an option.
Right.
If he puts himself on TV, we're bound by law to mock it.
About 20 minutes, kids. Stick around for that. It's become an annual tradition here on this program.
It's his fault, is what I'm saying.
I agree totally.
Comedian Patton Oswalt might or might not be here.
Well, he is about 50-50 when he comes to being booked as a guest.
Shakiest guest we've ever had?
I think so, yeah.
So hopefully, we'll see how that goes. The shortest New Year's Eve resolutions. This is always funny. We have people call in and tell us, this is what you decided you were going to do in 2011. And this is the one thing that you focused on. You set a realistic goal. You hope to accomplish it. And you've already blown it. It's only the third, but you've already blown it. So we're going to talk about that. We have a new episode, believe it or not, of Thanks for That Info, Bean.
How dare you? I haven't said a word in 2 weeks. How is this possible?
Oh, you said so much the last couple days before we left. I could. My fingers were getting blisters. I couldn't type or write that fast. It was ridiculous. We'll check in with TMZ, Harvey Levin.
All right.
Yeah. Find out about all the celebrity gossip that's going on.
A lot of stuff happened over the break.
And that's all coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes till 6.
If I remember how this whole thing works, now we say, here's Ralph Garman, and it's time for the Showbiz Beat.
That's,
is that right?
That's what I remember.
Hey, Ralph, Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to all you folks, too.
Recaps everything that's going on in the world of showbiz.
I do. I take a look at the showbiz news, and I read it, and then I try to read it back to you from memory.
Right.
Which means some of it may not be exactly accurate, but the intent there, the spirit of the story will remain intact.
The stuff that sounds shaky, go ahead and double check.
Or
get a second opinion.
Don't. It's just showbiz news. Right. Just chuckle and wink and give a thumbs up to the guy next to you in the car driving on the freeway.
You have to wink, Sarah Palin, do you?
Yes, you do. Try to have a good time. How was everyone's holidays? Good time?
Fantastic.
Times?
It was fun.
Yeah. Good times.
Fantastic.
I had a very hectic holiday. Was not much
family?
Of a vacation.
Family?
The holidays really aren't much of a vacation. We go on vacation.
No, that's true.
But you don't get a lot of rest.
Yeah. That's not a restful vacation.
You drink a lot, and you eat a lot, and you travel a lot, and you see a lot of family.
There are a lot of obligations, especially the week leading up to Christmas with all the various things that you have to do. It's not exactly relaxing.
Yeah. And it was, we got a brand new baby at home. Well, not new anymore. She's 9 months old, but still, baby's first Christmas is always a big deal.
Sure.
With both families, so everybody wants to see her, and you're traveling a lot, and you're hosting a lot of parties and whatnot, and people are a pain in the ass, basically. You're starting to take nothing away from the holidays. It's that people are a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's true.
I will tell you, if I can take one look back, Ralph, apparently the New Year's Eve Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman blowout was unbelievable. Apparently that was a great time.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Smith and I, the director and actor Kevin Smith, we do a weekly show together, a live comedy show that's also a podcast that you can get at smodcast.com or iTunes called Hollywood Babylon. And this year, we do it every Friday, and this year, Friday happened to be New Year's Eve. It fell on New Year's Eve, so we thought we'd do a show that we called our New Year's Eve Fiasco.
Good.
And it was appropriately named. It was like 3 hours of comedy, and from what I remember, it was very entertaining.
How much of that do you remember?
The first hour and a half, maybe. And then things get a
little drinking
fun.
Game starts when the show starts.
Yeah.
So if you've got to figure an hour in, hour and a half in, everybody's pretty blottoed, including the hosts.
Yeah, we do have a drinking game that goes along with the podcast that we gave out the rules to there live at the Comedy Club.
Okay.
And it was everyone really paid attention and played by the rules. And there's a lot of drinking that happens when you do that.
So. Sure.
Anyway, it was a blast. Thanks. A lot of our listeners were out there in force, and some folks here from the show as well. So. It was, and that was crazy because I was prepping for that all week long. We did a big game show segment and that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of stuff to do over the holidays. And frankly, I'm glad to be back at work where I can rest and relax.
Take it easy.
But before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give away some passes. This is pretty cool. Passes to the world premiere, people. This isn't some rinky-dink screening that we're having in the back of Kevin's van. No. This is the world premiere of The Green Hornet.
Oh, that's
good.
Who didn't
invite me? Why didn't I get invited?
Well, I haven't given away any tickets yet, sir.
Inviting you now.
Maybe you'd like to come now. If you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you could attend the world red carpet premiere of The Green Hornet at Grauman's Chinese Theater January 10th, which I believe is a Monday. It's in theaters Friday on January the 14th if you don't get a chance to see it at the premiere, but that's a pretty cool event.
Looks good.
I'll be giving them away every Showbiz Beat today, so you can check that out. Speaking of movies, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the weekend's hot movies, and little fuckers, they are sure little, and boy, are they fuckers.
And man, is he having a hard time getting his father-in-law to love
him. He does not get along with his father-in-law, that Ben Stiller. There's friction there in that family.
I saw that movie.
F you.
No, you didn't. Oh, come on.
Fuck you, as they say, with the fuckers.
You know, we had some time off. And
yeah, there's a lot of good movies out there.
Right, we saw, I think, all of them. My wife and I love going
to
movies.
Did you see all of them?
So we would do two or three movies
in a day. Did you see the King's Speech?
I did.
How great was that?
That was fantastic.
Great film. Yeah.
And yet, I don't feel sorry for him, because look at what I do, and look at what I do for him.
We should get you.
Way worse than him.
Jeffrey Rush to come in and try to teach you how to speak.
So he stutters, whatever.
You have Psycho Mike sit on your chest while you learn how to breathe properly.
Oh. I have to ask, what kind of a fight you put up when your wife tried to drag you to King's Speech? Tell me how much you protested going to see that movie.
Well, I didn't. It was one of those things where she wanted to go. It didn't work out. Right. And then she...
Because you kept getting there late?
She got sick. And so I thought it was the only one I hadn't seen yet. Literally.
So you went without her?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
That is not your kind of movie.
No, not really at all. But at the end, I thought, wow, that was really a good movie.
Yeah.
This is coming from a man who hates the royal family, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
All right, let's go through the top 10, and we'll see how many you saw, Kevin, right. Since you saw everything that was out there.
I saw everything.
Little Fockers was number one at the box office.
Fell asleep.
$26.3 million. You fell asleep during the Fockers?
I was pretty tired during that one.
Yeah.
Funny what I saw.
True Grit was second at the box office this weekend. Another great film. Boy, I love True Grit.
Fell asleep.
You fell asleep during that one, too?
Pretty tired on that one, too.
$24.5 million. Maybe you need
same day.
More than movies.
Maybe I'm not even going to movies. Maybe I'm just having dreams.
If you go to a movie... one day, and you fall asleep,
right.
Don't you say, you know what, today may not be the best movie-going day for me because I'm obviously sleepy.
Sure.
But you went to another film.
Well, you're there.
True Grit made $24.5 million, good enough to make it number two. Tron Legacy was third at the box office.
Saw it, loved it.
Yeah, that was really fantastic. Special effects in that were amazing.
Yep.
Yogi Bear was fourth.
Did not see it.
You didn't see Yogi Bear?
No. Hey, boo-boo.
No.
Hey, picnic basket.
No.
Hey.
Nope.
They have sandwiches, boo.
I missed that one too. Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, was fifth at the box office. Kevin?
No. Not a huge fan of that series.
Tangled was sixth.
Nope.
See, you're a liar when you say so.
You didn't see everything.
The good ones. I saw the good ones.
The Fighter, they saw Little Fockers.
Yeah, well.
The Fighter was seventh.
Fighter I saw.
Gulliver's Travels.
Nope.
Black Swan was ninth.
Yep.
The King's Speech was 10th.
Yep.
So you saw the majority of the top 10. Not
Come
so
on,
bad.
Man.
Anybody know what the Black Swan was about? By the way, what we're talking about.
Here's what I know. Girl-on-girl kissing.
Yeah, there was that. There was some girl self-touching.
So there was blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Girl self-touching.
Yeah, scary eyes.
Yeah, that's
credits.
And then blah, 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 and then girls kissing, and then blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's what I know about it.
Congratulations to Shania Twain. She married her scary, freaky fiance, Frederick Thibault.
He's got
Thibault.
Why is he scary?
Yeah.
It's just a freaky, weird situation. Because remember when Shania Twain was married to Mutt Lange, her producer of all of her records and stuff? He left her because he had an affair with Shania's best friend, Marie Ann Thibault.
That's always a good move.
And so he left her and went off with this woman. So Shania Twain starts dating the husband of the woman that her husband left her for.
So this is just a swap?
Pretty much.
That's all it is. It's a wife swap, yeah.
And so she married that dude on New Year's Day. So congratulations.
That dude upgraded, by the way. Shania over the woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
No kidding, right?
But that is just a country song in the making there,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
It's tailor-made for her kind of people. Also getting married over the New Year's Day weekend was Valerie Bertinelli. She married a dude named Tom Vitale. I'm sure he's very kind. I don't know anything about him.
They've been together a long time.
What does that mean, though?
Look, he started dating her when she was fat.
Yeah.
And now she's all that. So he wins. That's why he finally gave her the ring, by the way. Because he could finally fit one over those hands. She lost the 70 pounds on Jenny Craig or whatever that was.
I will marry you.
That's right. This is a human-sized ring. When you can wear it, I will say I do. David Arquette apparently is in rehab. Does that mean he'll stop talking?
No.
I'd like to stop hearing from him about how much he loves his wife while he's banging Swedish au pairs on the top of the bar at the Roosevelt Hotel.
It was an odd thing last year. He was seen everywhere banging everyone.
He kept going out saying how much he missed his wife, Courtney Cox, and how upset he was about the resolution of their marriage. And then he would just be seen banging some 12-year-old.
Different model every night. I don't think they were 12.
Well, I mean that symbolically.
Oh.
Yeah. When I say 12, I mean, of course, 14, 15.
Sure.
Anyway, he's in rehab for what he's calling alcohol abuse and depression. Well, they usually go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're depressed, you drink a lot.
Oh,
when you drink a lot, you get more depressed.
Must be so depressing to bang all those hot model chicks.
It must be. And the honeymoon may be already be over for Katy Perry and Russell Brand.
Oh,
what?
He's already in trouble. He was caught this week tweeting a picture of his new bride wearing no makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he famously loves her without makeup. And she rolled out of bed one morning. He snapped a photo on his camera and immediately tweeted it.
She seems like she would look good without makeup.
She looked fine.
She
wasn't the Katy Perry we're used to seeing, all made up, of course.
It's not
what
better.
Woman is.
It's not better.
Not better, no, but she was fine.
Fine is really generous. Fine is a generous term.
As what would Tyler Durden do said, if my wife looked like Keith Olbermann without makeup, I don't think I'd be snapping pictures of her.
Anyway, he tweeted it, and not surprisingly, it was taken down shortly thereafter because apparently Katy was not pleased with that decision. That had to be, there was some explaining to do after that.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. Here are the ground rules. Sometimes I look bad.
It's still out there on the internet if you want to hunt it down, and it's not a great picture of Katy.
But it's still Katy Perry.
We love her. Don't get me wrong.
Isn't like pizza?
She's adorable. Her face looks a lot like pizza, actually.
No,
yes.
Really?
You get a point.
Ooh.
She looks like a large pepperoni in the morning. Stay look at today's celebrity birthdays as we do at the end of every Showbiz Beat. John Paul Jones, bassist for the legendary Led Zeppelin, is 65 years old today. Legendary.
Sharp.
John Paul Jones.
That guy's sharp.
Yes. And he was also a military war hero back in the Second World War, I think.
No, different guy, same name. But he's also in that other band, right?
Them Crooked Bulgers.
Right,
yeah. Which stars Dave those Grohl. Other guys. Speaking of Dave Grohl,
yes.
I was at the super cool secret
Foo Fighters
show over the holidays. Yeah.
You went to that show?
Yeah, I went to that show.
I was so upset
at the Palladino.
The
guys got together to celebrate their finishing their album, and they got together and they played some music from the new album and played, of course, a ton of hits. And it was at this tiny little club out there in the valley, and we went there and had some drinks and watched the band play, and it was really cool.
Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited?
Yeah. I guess you're not
Chris
special.
Novacelic or Selick, how do you say his name? Was he there too?
Yes.
So they played Nirvana songs and Dave sang.
Yeah, it was wild.
Wow, I heard about that.
It was a trip.
Like, who do I have to know to get in?
Well, Ralph,
me,
apparently.
It's Ralph.
Yeah. Mel Gibson's 55 years old today.
Yeah.
And actor Jason Marsden, my buddy Mars. He's 36 years old today. Very talented actor and voiceover artist. Danica McKellar is 36 years old today. She, of course, was Winnie on The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
And New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is 30 years old today,
celebrating
a big victory yesterday. They did very well for themselves, won the big game, and so now it's on to the playoffs for the New York Giants.
The playoffs. Actually, not so much.
What?
Technically out.
Oh.
Yeah.
In order to get into the playoffs with a losing record, apparently you have to be in the Seahawks.
Oh, do you believe? Oh, that game last night. They should have just napalmed that whole stadium. Both of those teams and everybody watching. The worst football game I've ever seen. And I say to my wife, one of these teams gets to go to the playoffs.
I didn't watch the game. Was it one of those where they were both trying to out-lose
the other?
There
was like 79 punts in the course of the game.
Good.
It was insane.
Seahawks defense did look good, though. And I've been very critical of Seattle, but the defense did look good. They didn't, you know, the Rams didn't score a touchdown.
Oh, they stopped the mighty Rams, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Compared to most games that the Seahawks lose by 15 points, it was impressive.
Well, because it was the battle of the worst. That's
the zeros. I know.
It's the toilet bowl.
Does that mean that my winless Arizona Cardinals have a shot still?
Sorry, no, they won't be in either.
Okay, all right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You always ask, Kevin, who are these people, who are these losers who are at home on New Year's Eve watching TV? Well, that's me. I'm that guy.
Yeah, and, I know. That's strange because when you start thinking, what are you going to do for New Year's Eve? Well, some people like to go out. To me, it seems like it's partying 101. It's the people that don't get to go out the rest of the year that are desperate to have fun.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good night to go out.
Yeah,
either.
So I usually just try and avoid it. But at no point in the top 50 things of ideas is watching television.
You know what? I have to tell you, I was in Mammoth, and we were out to dinner, and we realized that we needed to get home in time to see Dick Clark open the show, and we, were driving 50 miles an hour down Icy Rose because we were salivating at
but
the
But for
thought.
The comedy of
Yes, of course.
Yeah, okay.
For the comedy.
Here's the thing about Dick Clark. Dick Clark has hosted that show for
40 years.
400 years.
40 years.
And he had a stroke, and the stroke affected him greatly.
Mm-hmm. He's to the point where he shouldn't be on television. Look, and I know we have people who may be hearing the program for the first time today. don't bother emailing us to hate on us for hating on stroke victims, because we're not hating on stroke victims. It's a terrible, sad, tragic thing that happened to Mr. Clark and his family, but it's his choice to put himself up on television where he shouldn't be. That's the point. It's, we're really mocking his choice, his ego that is involved in this decision, and ABC for allowing it to happen. Those are the bad guys here, not us.
But he's always on this show because he owns it. And so he puts himself on and he does the countdown and all that whole thing. And he really just, you can't understand a word he's saying.
And here's the other thing on top of it. This is what makes it the whole show an S sandwich, is that before you even get to Dick Clark, you got to get through Ryan Seacrest. Yeah.
This is the show to watch. This thing has been on for 39 years in a row. Tonight, this is the only place we're going to see live performances in Times Square, including a special one from New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys.
Okay, now let me stop right there and ask this question.
1982.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Whatever. In 2011, is the best that you can do the Backstreet Boys, who were popular, what, 10 years ago? 15 years ago?
15, probably, yeah.
And New Kids on the Block, who were popular, what, 20 years ago? 25 years ago? Is that the best you can do for New Year's freaking Eve in Times Square?
By the way, I would guess yes, because anybody that's any good is booked.
Yeah.
That's true. You can't get Jay-Z. He's getting $3 million to play Las Vegas, right?
Right. He's not going to do it.
That's the entertainment? Come on.
In just a few minutes, all nine of them are going to be on our stage at once.
And by the way, all nine of them, there were 10 at one point. Even one guy in the Backstreet Boys doesn't want to do it anymore.
Who died?
He didn't die. He just said, no, you're the Backstreet Boys. I'm out.
Now I'm honored once again to be working with one of my heroes, the broadcasting legend who's hosted this television event for the last, what, 4 decades? Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Dick Clark.
Okay, now this second right here is the longest second in broadcast history for me because I have no idea what to expect.
Right.
I just hold my breath and go, he's had another year of vocal rehab. What's it going to be like? What's Dick going to sound like? Is he back? You tell me.
Hi, Yaron. I'm real happy to be back with you again.
Come on.
And we were right? Yes!
Why? Why does he put himself on TV? Look, everybody, there are a lot of people that have strokes. It is tragic. But this is like...
But this is a job that requires you to speak.
Yes.
This is like Muhammad Ali going back into the ring. Could he do it? Yeah, but he'd get the crap beaten out of him. But then everybody would go, hey, buddy.
Muhammad Ali, everyone just going, oh.
That's my whole point. It's the anti-party. It's not New Year's Eve entertainment, right?
No.
It's a cautionary tale.
Well,
exactly.
It depends on who you are, Bean. It's not New Year's Eve entertainment like most people think of it, but the way Lisa was watching it and the way you were watching it is to just...
What a wonderful way to begin the new year. 1 million people are here tonight, and a billion are looking in around the world. Don't you dare go away. Fergie?
Did he say Fergie? Fergie, yeah, because then they throw it to the lame Hollywood portion of the show.
Oh, I see.
They have all these accents. All right, we're not going to have time for everything.
Can I just take a vote? Were there 1 billion people watching that show?
Who knows?
I do.
No.
By the way, you got your Ryan Seacrest check. You got your Dick Clark with the stroke check. What could complete the trifecta of the world's greatest New Year's Eve program? But adding Jenny McCarthy to the mix, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Look at that crowd. It's going to be so fantastic in just a bit. One of the newbies, Jenny McCarthy. Jenny.
Now, what do you think, Kevin? You have not heard this. What do you think Jenny McCarthy is going to bring to the party?
A lot of excitement. She's going to make a lot of funny noises and faces.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, my gosh! Look at these people! I am so excited to be down here! The crowd is amazing! Electric! I mean, you can feel the excitement! It won't be long before midnight now! Right back to you, babe!
Oh, my God. Are these people having as much fun as they want us to believe they're having?
Isn't it miserably cold in New York City? It seems to me like they all go there because that's, you know, headquarters for New Year's Eve in America.
Right.
But then, you know, they have to all be miserable because they've been there all day and it's freezing.
I don't know.
But then you know that there's a TV producer. You know this, Bean. There's a TV producer that goes up there ahead of time and goes, all right, you guys are going to be on. And you want to show everybody else what a good time you're having. So let's, come on. Let's get some energy up. Let's do it.
Because people had been there for 8 or 9 hours,
which
I don't even get.
So you see Jenny McCarthy interviewing you, and you're not yelling.
I don't know why they need to add more people yelling to this broadcast. That's what I don't get.
Because no one has anything to say. So if you keep throwing it to different people, it sounds like somebody's saying something.
That's a good point. But you're absolutely right. All they're saying is, hey, in 20 minutes, it's going to be the new year. That's all they got, right?
You know, I've been here many, many times, and I'm always struck by the fact that you can feel the anticipation in the air, you know? And to tell us why people are so excited right now, here is the chairman of the board, Dick Clark.
First of all, the chairman of the board is Frank Sinatra, not Dick Clark. Yeah. Second of all, don't go to Dick to write an essay on live television as to why people are excited on New Year's Eve, okay? Give Dick as little to do as possible. Don't challenge him.
That question doesn't need to be asked either. They're excited because it's a new year. That's it!
And how surprised can Ryan be that there's a lot of anticipation as you lead up to midnight?
Oh, I can't wait to hear Dick explain it.
Well, you're not going to because we only have time to hear Dick count down. And, of course, part one is how's Dick going to sound? Part two is how badly is Dick going to screw up the counting? Because at some point it really is just he's racing against the clock to try to get the words out fast enough. So let's see how he did this year to count us into 2011.
All right. We are a minute away. Can you feel the booms, the excitement, the energy? The magic is about to happen, and the man is going to do it for us right now. Let's.
By the way, there's a minute left, and I almost feel like Ryan is trying to eat up as much time with the introduction as possible to give Dick as little time as possible to count down. You don't want to give it to Dick with like 45 seconds left because he'll have to fill 45 seconds.
No. To the master, it is the time for Dick Clark to take over and count us down. Dick.
Thank you, my friend. Now. The moment you've all been waiting for. Let's come right up. You're going to hear the roar of the crowd, and believe me, you will never, ever forget it. Are you ready?
All right, are we ready to hear Dick count?
Yes, we are.
On the down. Ready? Okay, here we go now. 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17.
And by the way, I kind of felt like he's gonna run out of breath and he's going to die on camera having to read so fast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
So this year, he got all of the numbers in order, ladies and gentlemen, which is rare for Dick, as you know. And in case you're wondering, there's no audio, but his poor long-suffering wife did come out, and he did gum her to death right after midnight.
Did he give her that gum kiss again?
Yes, and then he, like, licks her face.
No.
It's so sad.
That's not the way to start a year for anyone.
Then she changes his diaper, and they all go home.
That is not very nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
Thanks for tuning in to the first Kevin and Bean Show for 2011. I missed Lisa May so much while we were on vacation.
2011!
Sorry, I didn't realize you had that standing by. That's very nice. I also missed our friend Harvey Levin, because when I don't talk to Harvey from TMZ.com and TMZ Television, I don't feel like I know what's going on. So, you know, I hate that. I like to be current. You know that.
Sure. Yes.
Harvey, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm so glad it is January. Half our staff was gone last week.
Sure.
So we needed to fill the chairs of the TV show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to that, that 76 station at Crescent Heights and Sunset?
Yes.
Yes.
We had the mechanic and the owner in the room.
All right. You just needed warm bodies.
But let me just say, the best stories ever.
Really?
Really?
Well, I mean, he knows everything. They've all come in there.
Did somebody lose their job?
No. Okay. Well, that's the great thing is when you're the owner, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Interesting.
I know exactly that service station you're talking about, and I remember stopping one time to fill. That's the exact service station where I saw Angelina in her little pink Corvette a few years ago.
Right,
that crazy old Hollywood legend who's like 100 now and still drives around that little Corvette. I saw her at that service station one time. It's so funny you should bring that up.
Oh, everybody. I mean, and Tori Spelling, not so nice.
Yeah, really.
Really?
All right, we'd like to catch up with Harvey because he has the site TMZ.com, and that's the site where there's all the celebrity gossip. And it is 99.99% true. It can be counted on more than any other site.
It's true, yeah.
So we'd like to talk to you about it. Now, Harvey, I spent the entire holiday not paying attention to a single thing. So you're going to have to catch me up with the big stories or whatever's important right now.
Well, Lindsay completely turned Betty Ford on its head while you were gone.
Meaning what?
30 years, it's been this serene place. Lindsay goes to Betty Ford, boom. I mean,
all hell breaks loose.
Police reports, 911.
All right.
It was crazy. But
now, let me ask you about that, Harvey, because I saw a little bit of it. She left on like a day pass or something like that and ended up at a party or drinking or getting into a fight, or what did she do?
Well, she says she left at 8 o'clock to get her hair done. And her roommates apparently went out partying at a bar. So according to this woman who worked at Betty Ford until she talked with us,
she got fired?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lindsay and the girls jumped the wall, according to this woman. And then Lindsay got in a confrontation with her, supposedly pushed her. They got in these dueling 911 calls together, and Lindsay supposedly pushed her so hard she dislocated her arm.
Wow.
Police report filed, but now the woman says she doesn't want to press charges. The happy ending here is that Lindsay is legally she's allowed to get out today.
Yeah.
But she may stay till the weekend because there's a certain treatment that she's been getting over there. And she's actually taking this seriously enough that she's thinking of staying through next weekend, even though
no,
she doesn't have
but
to.
Wait a minute.
No,
you said
no.
She jumped a fence to join a party. That's not taking
it. Right, I did make a transition there. I agree.
But that's not taking it seriously.
Yeah, what treatment?
I made a sharp left.
Yeah.
Harvey, you're an attorney. Has she violated her probation? Because didn't the judge say, if you violate your probation, I'm coming down on you hard and sending you back to prison?
Yeah, but the woman has got her own problems now, and she doesn't want to press charges, so I think Lindsay may skate on this one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Did she drink when she was out?
No, there's no evidence she did, but she refused to take a breathalyzer test.
Dude, well, I could stay in rehab if they let you out for parties. I mean, come on. Honestly, how hard is that?
How can you refuse to take a breathalyzer when you've been ordered there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a whole thing.
Wow. Is there any chance that any of this is going to stick and she's going to start the straight and narrow path when she gets out, whatever day it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
what do you
happen.
Think, Harvey?
Oh,
yeah.
I think, honestly, it depends on who she hangs with. I think if she goes back to a certain crowd that she was with before, she's a goner. If she really makes a change in her life, she's got a chance, but I think it all depends on who she hangs
Here's
with.
Here's what I think.
All right, in our remaining moments with the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, while we're on the rehab topic, David Arquette. Now, does he really have a problem, or is this part of the PR that he will then be able to come out of rehab in a week and go, Courtney, all is forgiven, right? Let's get back together.
I mean, I think this is real, and apparently, you know, he's been, on a level, you look at him, and it looks like he's just having the greatest time in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not.
It looks like he's having sex with every supermodel that lives.
Yeah, he is doing that.
And then he goes back home and goes, I sure love you.
Well, he's been off the rails. And I think he's really kind of acknowledged this thing. I think he's been really, really honest. And I believe this. I mean, I don't think this is a stunt at all.
Okay.
All right, good times. Well, Harvey, it's great to have you back in 2011, man. TMZ.com is the...
Always give me a beat, Dean.
Sorry. And you can also check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Bye, guys. See
Bye.
You.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll look for you if you broke your New Year's resolution. Well, certainly by now, almost no one still has their New Year's resolution going on by the 3rd, right?
Nah.
But we're going to be looking for people who broke them that night. People who made a resolution, committed to it for the entire year, and then 20 minutes later, they were out. That's what we're going to be looking
for. Yeah, we've done this before. Always cracks us up because people make a promise, a pledge to themselves that they're going to do something for 365 days. And almost always within the first 24 hours, it's done.
And it usually involves banging a toxic person in your life. And those are the kind of stories we enjoy.
Sure.
So that's coming up in about 20 minutes. Also, the great Patton Oswalt joins us later on. First, though, on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's the first time for 2011. I gave you the pause. That's what you wanted, right?
Do it again.
It's the first time for 2011.
2011.
We're talking about the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Now, it is impossible to keep up with all the videos that are going around, all the funny ones, all the interesting ones. And sometimes we find some that we didn't know about that they made 3 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But this is a segment. You can go to the KevinandBean.com website and you can go to Internet Roundup. And these are all of our favorite videos at the moment. So it's kind of it's a recap of all of them. The first one, these dudes are my kind of people because they made this remote control car, and it basically drives out. They go to golf courses,
courses, that a guy will hit a golf ball onto the green. Mm-hmm. And by the way, golfers, for those of you that don't know, take golf very seriously. So they take this car, and it's got a little scoop on the front of it, and they drive the car onto the green and scoop the ball up and drive off.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't they?
Best thing I've ever seen. It's just so funny to watch those guys' heads explode. Well, this particular one didn't go quite so well. The guy chased down the car and broke it. It was a big fight.
Calm down.
Camera.
It's not even on.
Yeah, I hope it's very expensive.
Get back to your golf game.
It is a game. Now you're going to respect. This is a green.
Whoa. God damn. This guy's fast. He's still running, man.
So the guy whose ball gets scooped up by the remote control car, Lisa, he's 70 if he's a day, and he comes running after this kid with a golf club and tries to knock his head off.
He's as fast as Reggie Bush all of a sudden. I don't know how it happened, but boy, is he angry.
What?
That's the one thing you know about golf is that they take it so seriously. So a remote control car on the green picking up the ball, that might be the funniest thing I've ever
seen.
That's
awesome.
So check that out at the internet, roundupkevinandbean.com. DJ Earworms did a remix of the top 25 pop songs of 2010. A mashup of all of them put together, along with the video.
And yeah, he's amazing.
It's
every year
really
I watch
impressive.
This and I go, wow, is he talented, and wow, were there a lot of crappy songs out this past year.
It's really impressive to watch.
I know a place.
He does the audio, let alone the video, but it's impressive.
Too much Kesha for me to be able to fully enjoy the Earworms video this year, though.
There's that, yeah. There's a little boy who got some books for Christmas, and he doesn't like that. Books are not Christmas gifts.
Books?
Yeah.
Books for Christmas? What the heck is that?
He's very angry.
Oh.
How did a video of Kevin finally surface in 2011? Come on.
At the end of that, when he goes, this is poo. It's so funny. That kid is so cute. I hate cat videos. Hate them. I hate cats. Love dogs.
Yeah.
Just not a cat person. And Dave, the King of Mexico, who puts together the Internet Roundup, he loves cats. This one, however, he got me to sit down and watch it. It's very funny because there's some cats playing patty cake.
I love those cats.
And I guess there are a couple of comedians that put the voice to it as if they were talking back and forth to each other. And this one's quite funny.
Bake me a cake. Whoa, stop. Patty cake. Come on. It's over.
Shut this camera off, Brad.
No.
Shut the camera off.
Patty
I'm done.
Cake.
I'm not
cake.
It really is awesome.
As if they could talk. It is very funny. I don't know if you've seen the video of the 12-year-old basketball phenom. This kid is the Michael Jordan and is the Kobe Bryant of 12-year-olds.
It's unbelievable.
He's 12. And it is unbelievable, the stuff he can do. He can make any shot. He can dribble between his legs. Super, super fancy.
Wow, he's 12?
But I want you to focus on the reporter, who I believe may have a crush on the 12-year-old. Because the reporter is really, really obsessed with the kids' balls.
Two balls in rhythm. Two balls out of sync. Big ball, little ball. Little ball, big ball. Little ball round and round, big ball bouncing, two balls between the legs.
All right, take it easy. He really is just, can you believe this? And in the kid's defense, it is that mind-blowing.
It is, but you do wait for Chris Hansen to enter the screen. You do wait for him to come up and have a word with the reporter.
Is it true that you said two balls between the legs? Well, yeah, but I didn't. He was dribbling, but... I put together a video over the holiday, my tribute to dancing and falling, because this cracks me up. People who are dancing and then they bite it. They just face first, they face plant, right top of the mountain, they're dancing.
Right,
they
and
look
they're
good,
great.
They're moving, they look good. Next second, they're on the floor crying. And it is really one of the best things I've ever seen. So I did a mashup of Let's Dance by David Bowie and another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. And then
awesome.
Put a bunch of these people to it. Every time you hear bites the dust, somebody literally eats the wall or falls off a table or gets thrown into a crowd. It's just disastrous.
Or falls off a stripper pole, which is so sad, really.
The entire stripper pole falls at one point, and then another one, she falls on her head off the stripper pole.
Oh,
that
my
is,
gosh.
That is sad, but that's good. That's good times. Over the holidays, some local scofflaws, is that what you call them, Bean? Little kids that won't get off our yard? They took some snow and they made some snow penises.
Sure.
In the front yard, which was not well received by the neighbors, but was surprisingly well received by the cops.
Neighbors along North 7th Street in Lafayette say two sculptures of male genitals were disgusting.
Gina Robinson says her neighbors began building the sculptures Tuesday night, but she didn't notice what they actually were until Wednesday morning. She's more upset with how Lafayette police responded.
So she calls the police. She says, the guys next to me have these statues of penises made out of snow, and you need to come take care of it.
They showed up, laughed, and drove off.
Coolest police ever. And finally, Weird Al's answering machine.
Yeah! Now, you know I love Weird Al.
This is a friend of his, right?
This is his drummer.
Drummer, okay.
Who has been saving answering machine messages from Weird Al since 1985.
So for 25 years?
What's up with that?
He's been saving answering machine messages. Didn't tell him. He's just got a huge backlog of all of these messages from Weird Al. Just weird stuff and song ideas. And he's playing songs on the keypad. It's fantastic.
See, the bad part about having an answering machine that just records forever is you have to listen to people like me.
I want a new dog, one whose name is Bob.
I want a new goat. I called you on the phone, but you are not at home.
You know what's funny about that is Weird Al thinks he's burning that guy.
Right.
Because that guy has an answering machine that will record forever. But that guy just saves him, and now he turns around and puts him out, and it's fantastic.
He was just waiting for YouTube to be invented so he could get some revenge.
So go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see any of these videos. It's the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Listen to K-Rock every day this week at 7 o'clock, which is coming up in about 5 minutes.
What?
And 7 p.m. to instantly win a trip to Vail, Colorado.
Nice.
What? Details are at KROQ.com. It is 6:56.
One of the freshest new sounds for 2011
is this one.
What? 2011. Thank you. Sorry. It's a new band called Dramarama. They'll be coming up for you next with a hot new song called Anything Anything. So stick around for that on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on, Rob?
What are you doing,
Kevin? Nothing. Look, I have to learn from scratch.
It's
been 2 weeks. I don't remember any of this.
You get here late. You're pushing buttons. You're
2011.
It's why do you start off bad? Why?
Kevin keeps insisting that I say 2011 and then take a beat so they can play it. And then every time I do it, he won't play it.
Yeah. Why, Rob? I don't understand the question.
I know you don't. I teased in my very first showbiz beat that I would be giving away tickets all morning for the world premiere of The Green Hornet at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Right.
And you lied? Well, I sort of lied. I gave away 5 pairs of passes that first time out.
Oh, and you were supposed to do one each?
I was supposed to do 1 pair of passes in each of the 5 showbiz beats.
So I'm bad.
They wrote here, giveaway in every showbiz beat, 5 winners get a pair of passes.
They wrote here, push a lot of buttons. It don't make sense.
Now, wouldn't you assume if they wrote giveaway in every showbiz beat, 5 winners get a pair of passes, that in every showbiz beat you're doing, 5 winners get a pair of passes?
I would guess that would be true.
That's what I guessed. Turns out I guessed incorrectly. Or in the words of the old knight in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you chose poorly.
A lot of call for that one.
Not really, no. Right. But I'll be giving out more tomorrow. So you got to come back tomorrow if you want to win, because I've already shot my load of passes today. Whoa. So there you go. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's a new year. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What the heck is that?
Yeah, what indeed. Let's talk about the hot movies over the weekend. We do it every Monday morning, tell you what the most successful films were at the box office. Little Fockers remains number one, $26.3 million. Oh,
because that kid climbs the rock wall and he falls down, and De Niro goes, double dose, double dose. Oh, that's got to be funny.
I got to tell you guys, every one of those movies has been good.
I will headbutt you right now.
Not kidding.
The
I like
first
them all.
One was okay.
I like them all.
And then it was the Law of Diminishing Returns. Mm. Re the Fockers and Me.
Yeah.
Come on now.
True Grit. Now that's a movie. That's a damn movie right there. I love that movie.
A lot of cowboy hats in that one.
It's a cowboy movie, Kevin.
I realize
turns
that.
Out. Cowboy
too many horses.
Cowboy movies have that. Hats and guns and horses. Lawyer Daggett. A lot of good stuff in that movie. $24.5 million made it number two. Tron Legacy was third. Jeff Bridges stars in two out of the top three movies in America.
Yeah.
That's how you know we're living in good times, people. Yogi Bear was fourth. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader was fifth. Tangled, The Fighter, Gulliver's Travels, Black Swan, and The King's Speech, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Oh, it's time to play Celebrity Roulette. Everyone put their bets down.
Celebrities, they love to party. How up can they get? Who's floating down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
Celebrity Rehab Roulette. No more bets. Let's see who comes up on the big wheel. Oh, David Arquette. David Arquette's our big winner for today.
That was kind of a given, wasn't it?
David Arquette apparently has entered into a live-in rehab facility, checking in for treatment for what his people are calling an alcohol and other issues. But not drugs, just alcohol and depression.
Other issues.
According to his people, other issues, yeah. By the way, David was partying at the Beecher's Madhouse at the Roosevelt Hotel on New Year's Eve this weekend. Just drinking, just grabbing bottles and just pouring it down his throat. And I guess he decided the next day, as many of us do, I need some help. I'm never drinking again.
Or he knew he had to go in, so he was just having one last big
party. True. Maybe you just want to give the liver a good test run before you start cleaning it out. So David is seeking help for his alcohol problems.
Isn't good for you.
I know New Year's Day I felt like checking into a rehab for my alcohol problems, but I think I've got them under control now.
Sure.
And sad news, one of the greats, really, just a terrific, terrific film actor named Pete Postlethwaite has passed away at the age of 64 years old. Oscar nominated for his work in The Name of the Father. If you've never seen that film, it's a brilliant film about the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, trying to take their country back from the Brits. In 1994, that film was made, but he's been in a ton of movies. Most recently, you saw him in Inception. He was the florist in The Town with Ben Affleck.
Oh, sure.
Great performance in that. He's got another film still coming out this year called Killing Bono, which is not a good idea, by the way. I do not recommend that. He was in Clash of Titans, Ian Flux, The Constant Gardener, just a ton of great movies. One of the great British film actors. Steven Spielberg once called him the best actor in the world, and that's pretty high praise coming from Spielberg. He passed away at the age of 64 after a long battle with cancer.
It is very sad, especially since he never got to be in any of the Fockers movies.
That's true.
I mean, that's
those
real...
were all good.
Yeah.
Those were all good movies.
Oh. That's a blank spot on his resume.
Oh, if he could have just been in more Little Fockers. If he could have held on for the next movie.
All funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays, New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is 30 years old today, celebrating a big victory last night that puts them right in the playoffs. So congratulations.
Actually, they lost it out.
What?
Out, not in the playoffs.
But they were leading the Eagles by like 28 points in the fourth quarter in that one game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What happened there? I shouldn't have turned it off.
Oh, yeah, that was a big comeback.
That's what you're famous for, is turning off Eagles games.
I hate my Eagles. Danica McKellar is 36 years old today. Yay! She was winning on The Wonder Years. Jason Marsden, very talented actor, is 36 years old as well. Mel Gibson turns 55 years old today. And John Paul Jones, legendary bassist for Led Zeppelin and also Them Crooked Vultures, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to George Galvin from Costa Mesa. He is our latest winner. He wins a trip for two, by the way. How about this? To Vail, Colorado. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Another chance coming up. It's World Famous K-Rock at 7:09.
Author of the new book called Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. What's that all about? What's that title? What's that mean? What's going on with Patton Oswalt in his life?
About zombie? I don't know.
He'll be joining us next hour here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is the 3rd of January in the year of our Lord, 2011.
2011!
I was confused, sorry.
Wow, there was a mad scramble on that side of the room.
Try it again.
2011! How many hours into the show are we finally going to be ready to go?
I'm thinking Wednesday.
Have you ever worked on this show?
I think Wednesday we should be up and running.
All right. 2011.
Nope. We're going to be looking for how fast you broke your New Year's Eve resolutions coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, what's this BS? What are you making up now? What are we talking about?
This BS, for those of you that are listening for the first time or you haven't heard us in a while, Bean has Asperger's.
Nope.
It's not a B like a burger like you eat. It's a P, Asperger's. And it's a high form of autism, high-functioning form of autism. Super smart, super high IQ. Social skills, though, right in the basement.
Yeah.
Just bad social skills. Just no way of communicating with.
Inability to empathize with the people that you're talking with, whether they are appreciating what you're saying to them. They have a roadblock there where they get feedback from the people that they're talking to, so they're incapable of recognizing whether their audience is appreciating the story or not.
You can give them all the feedback you want, but they have a force field, and it hits their force field and falls to the ground. It does not reach them.
Right. So it makes them sometimes socially awkward.
Right. So that's why we do this feature.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Now, this is all stuff that while we're playing commercials and songs and stuff, we sit around and we talk and we have conversations and then Bean pipes up.
Right.
And he says stuff out of the blue that's not related to anything anyone's talking about. It's not a continuation. It's not even really a conversation starter. He just is reading from the internet. He finds it interesting. He wants to tell us.
But he believes this is conversation.
Correct. Yes.
He's wrong, but he believes that.
He can hear you, by the way. He's here. He's in the conversation now.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
So here's some of the things, and I write them down verbatim so that I get them right, so I know exactly what he said and what anybody else in the room said. Now, the rules, as usual, are when Bean starts talking about stuff no one cares about, keep your mouth shut.
Do not engage.
You are not allowed to speak back to him. So I also write what we say in the Thanks for That Info.
Because if you do, then it will just continue on and on and on.
Right.
And you enter a vortex of conversation that is inescapable.
That you don't want to be in.
No, you do
not.
And
you realize immediately, wow, I'm halfway down into the mine shaft, and I didn't want to be anywhere near a mine. It's what
like
just
the,
happened?
It's like little girl in True Grit. You fall down there, and suddenly there's snakes everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this one he begins with, knowing that this is bad. Here's a big problem now. We've sort of trained Bean the stuff that we are interested in, the stuff we're not. He starts this one with, you're going to claim that this is a thanks for that info, Bean. But you shouldn't because it's interesting.
Oh, man.
So he starts it that way.
And you know you're in trouble.
Right, because he's announcing, basically, I'm going to say something you don't care about.
Right.
So and no one says anything. Mm-hmm. We all kind of look at each other. We all have the code. We all know. And then Bean follows that up with, there are 123 ways to make change for a dollar.
Okay. Now, in my defense, that's interesting.
That info, Bean.
Now, that is interesting.
Now, here's what Bean said after none of us said a word. That's interesting. That's what he said.
He said, insisting.
Right. Now,
just because you announce that, Bean, doesn't make it interesting automatically, by the way, when you say that's interesting.
There are 123 different ways to make change for a dollar.
But that is interesting.
We weren't having conversation about making change for a dollar or anything like that. Statistic, nothing, nothing. And he doesn't understand that's – and where are we supposed to go with that? Wow,
I don't know.
Really, the ultimate conversation there is, wow, I didn't know there were that many. I mean, really,
that's as good as you can expect.
That's as good as that conversation's going to get. And I forgot to tell Bean the rules for this particular segment. You're not allowed to explain further. We get it.
Yeah.
We understand the point. We're telling you don't say it in the first place.
Saying it's not conversation.
Let alone follow it up with explanation. I guess the reason I'm sad is that Aretha Franklin is going to die. Because she has a lot of good songs in her. Now, we weren't talking about celebrities dying.
Did anyone say, Bean, why are you so sad? Did that come up at all?
Is anyone sick? What about the musicians?
How about that
aren't
Aretha Franklin?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I guess the reason I'm sad is that Aretha Franklin is going to die because she has a lot of good songs in her.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel.
She has too many good songs in her.
She's got a lot of pizzas in her, too.
She's huge. Willard Scott, who, by the way, is the...
Anything that starts with Willard Scott, I'm out. No one needs to say anything more.
What is he? He's the weatherman on...
He used to be the weatherman on
the Today Show.
Now they cart him out every once in a while to say happy birthday to old people.
Giant bald guy.
Yeah.
Superboy. Yeah. Willard Scott was the first Ronald McDonald. Weren't talking about McDonald's.
Okay, now, in my defense, we had the Today Show on, and Willard Scott...
Info
Willard Scott was on the TV.
But
did any of us say, hey, I wonder what Willard Scott did before this?
Willard Scott could be on fire on the Today Show, and I wouldn't want any information about it.
So Bean says Willard Scott was the first Ronald McDonald, and then no one says anything. And then Bean follows that up with, Willard Scott was the first radio DJ I ever met.
Oh, my God.
And that's no one said true. Anything.
That's that info, Bean.
There is a certain arrogance that comes along with this, that Bean automatically thinks anything that pops into his head, people will want to know.
I don't think it's arrogance. I think that it really is a blind spot. I really think, like, he imagines that we're all going to jump in and laugh and have this great conversation.
Really? At this point? Really?
Well, I can't conceive of a world or an audience that wouldn't be interested in Willard Scott being the first Ronald McDonald, because that's a super interesting fact. Because everybody knows
that's
Ronald McDonald.
Info Bean.
Most people maybe don't realize that the first Ronald McDonald was Willard Scott.
I don't care. Just like I don't care who was the first Mickey. I don't care who was the first whatever cartoon character you want. I don't care who was the first.
I can't conceive of a role where someone wouldn't care about that. I'm sorry.
All right. And then finally.
Maybe that proves your point.
Finally, the coup de grace is being. We also give a hard time for being cheap. I don't know if this is cheap or practical or what, but this blew my mind. Bean said these words. I can't believe how much mold there is on this piece of bread I'm eating. Now, he didn't just say, hey, there's a little bit of mold, or there's a bit of mold in the corner.
Oh, what a surprise.
I can't believe how much there is.
On the bread.
Yes, that means it has
I'm
to be.
I'm eating.
That means it has to be half covered, right?
Significant amount of mold.
So, all of us in the room
you
at the time.
You can't say anything.
Right, we lost our minds. We just could. We were like, stop eating it then. And then Bean followed up with, I don't think this is bad for you.
No, they recommend you eat all the moldy bread you can find. I just saw that on some doctor's website over the holidays.
And then we had a big argument about, is he cheap? Like, he won't throw that out and go get new bread because he doesn't want to spend money?
Of course that's what it is.
Because he's the guy that also puts chocolate milk mix in his sour chocolate milk to make sure that it can last longer.
When milk has gone sour, he puts chocolate in it to be able to drink it.
So that's cheap, right?
Yeah.
You get a few extra days out of it that way, sure.
But you don't need a few extra days out of milk. You can buy new milk.
Are you
and bread.
Are you broadcasting from Calcutta? Is that where you're currently doing the show from? What dire straits are you in? We're eating moldy bread and sour chocolate milk.
I can't believe how much mold there is on this piece of bread I'm eating.
That sounds like a meal in a Turkish prison. Moldy bread and sour chocolate milk.
So we would just like to collectively say,
thanks for that info, Bean.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Patton Oswalt joins us next hour. By the way, I'm not looking forward to the end of today's show because when I go to the gym like I do, it's going to be so – Mike, you're with me here. It's going to be so packed with all these people with their stupid New Year's resolutions about how now they're going to get in shape. Now they're going to lose weight. Hey, where were they when I started 20 years ago?
I hear you, brother.
Wouldn't you like to see the numbers of people that sign up for a gym in January or late in summer? And that is their New Year's resolution. And then just see the numbers of the fall off, like how many people end up there 3 months later. It's got to be 1/10 of the people that sign up.
Well, let's ask Mike. I mean, what's it like January, February versus how it gets to be in the spring and summer?
I know a lot of people complain about it, but I like it because it's almost always chicks.
Right, that's not what we're asking.
For the first 3 months, it's like, but it tapers off. Come like March, it's these people.
Really, they last that long? Yeah, they really do go for 2 months?
It's a slow gradient. You know what I'm saying? It's not overnight. Sure. It's like you just start to see them less frequently that week, and next thing you know, they just don't show up.
Well, we like New Year's resolutions because they don't work. And the funny part is that they usually take a very short amount of time to not work. So let's say you want to stop smoking. There's so many people that have a cigarette within 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're promising yourself 365 days. This year is gonna be different.
Yeah.
And then
that's really daunting.
It just doesn't work. So I figured out for my New Year's resolution this year, I went to see Black Swan and Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman kiss in it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think find something that you will enjoy all year, find something that's doable all year, and that you'll stick with all year. So I just like to have more girls kissing girls.
Yeah.
In 2011. Like, I want more of that.
How are you going to make that happen?
I want more of that in my life.
But how? What is that? Why is that a resolution for you?
That's just what I want. That's what I want.
What are you going to do to make that happen? Walking for people in the street and start paying them to kiss?
If they want something, they're going to have to kiss a girl to get it. I'm just saying that's my New Year's resolution.
That's your resolution.
Now, what we want to do is we want to take your calls. If you made New Year's resolutions and damn it, you meant it. I mean, this is it. You need to turn your life around. And so you say next year, 2011, this is going to be a new deal. And what was it, Saturday night, Friday night, New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve was Friday night.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, I'm going to change my life. And then it gets to be the first and you realize, wow, I really need a cigarette.
Well, you can't start something new on a weekend. You at least have the weekend to party, and then you start it on Monday. That's what I heard.
See, but this is part of the problem, is that it's really hard to get going, and it's much, much harder to keep going. We're not exactly a people of self-control.
I was giving up sugar. But Saturday night, I realized that two people had left 2 half-gallons of vanilla ice cream in my freezer for Christmas.
What are you going to do?
I can't throw it away.
No, you know, it would be wasteful. So that's the thing, is how long did it take you to break your New Year's resolution? 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number. And you call and you tell us, my New Year's resolution was, and we've had people before, this is always cracks me up, I'm going to give up sex. I don't know why. Maybe they think it's taken
over. Casual sex.
It's taken over too much a role in their life or something. But that's what they are determined that they're not going to do in the next year. And they've had sex twice by now, you know, by the third.
That's right. Well, you don't give up sex when you're drinking at a party. That's not the place and time to give up sex, right?
Well, I don't think it's the time to make a life decision on anything. If you're at a party and you're drinking, you wanting to quit smoking, irrelevant. You wanting to quit drinking, irrelevant. You wanting to quit having, you know, so much sex with strangers, irrelevant. You're drinking.
Excuse me. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls here in a second to find out what resolutions you made that you've already broken. Listen to this. I thought this was interesting. Of course, stop smoking and lose weight are the number one and number two New Year's resolutions that Americans make. 75% of people keep their resolutions for the first week of the new year. Now, that's even a higher number than
that's
I would have expected.
Way higher than I would think.
Yeah.
71% are still keeping their resolutions 2 weeks in. And according to this survey, 46% are maintaining their New Year's resolutions 6 months in. That seems
liars.
High to me.
You know what that
seems
means? High. That means 46% on that survey lied.
Yes.
Honestly, you think 50% of this population is able to keep their New Year's resolution for half of the year?
No, because half the time when you make the resolution, it's the same exact one you made last year.
Of course.
That's true. And it's very hard to kind of objectively judge quitting smoking. You quit smoking or you don't. But losing weight, like, you could say, oh yeah, I've stuck with it, but how do we really know? I mean, yeah, you lost a pound over that 6 months,
right?
You know,
you're still trying.
Very hard to, like,
you went up 20, but then you came back down 19. So who knows, maybe you're about even, but come on.
All right.
Now
we're gonna take your calls. Toll free number, if you're listening to the show, you can pick up the phone and give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's just take Tom real quick and then we'll come back with all the rest. Tom on line one joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, our first caller for 2011. Hey, Tom, what was your New Year's resolution, man?
Give up ice cream.
How'd that work out for you? What are you, communist? What's wrong with you?
24 hours, man. 24 hours, I couldn't do it.
Yes. Now, are you getting heavy and you thought ice cream was the problem, or is it a dairy thing? Why did you make that decision?
No, it's just one of those weakest things. You know, you just enjoy ice cream. It's in the evening.
But it's not hurting you? You're not fat? You're not...
No, but it's not good for you in the long term, correct?
True.
I wouldn't say that. I think ice cream is great for you.
I think it's probably the building block of a healthy body.
Or the beginning of diabetes.
But it's odd. Like, unless you're getting diabetes or whatever, you have problems with sugar, you have problems with dairy, most people would not make that resolution.
You're right. But being said, it's New Year's Day, or it's got to start on Monday. New Year's Day pops up, a lot of stuff on TV. You know what?
Of course.
Exactly.
Well, here's the question for you now, though. Now that you've broken the resolution, is it shot for the whole year, or are you going to start it again now that you finished that bowl of ice cream?
Today's Monday. I didn't have any Sunday, so we're looking at 24 hours so far. Good.
Okay.
Oh, one day at a time, Tom.
All right.
That's all you can do.
Baby steps. Baby steps. All right. That's a terrible New Year's resolution, but I applaud you for it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
Like, with 24 hours, he had already ruined it. All right, your call's 1-800-520-1067.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
No, they weren't. Thank you, Dick Clark, and Happy New Year to you as well. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. You know, I think that New Year's resolutions, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just the people I hang out with, but I think they're kind of like Christmas cards in that most people don't really do them anymore.
Yeah, I think so, because when you're younger and you start doing New Year's resolutions, you realize, I can't do this because right. I'm weak. So right. you don't want to set yourself up for failure, so you just
so
don't
you just
do
stop
it.
Doing it. Right. Exactly right. You can't be a failure if you don't set right. yourself up for failure.
I
want
to do nothing. Hey, I can do right. that.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Allison real quick. This is exactly what we're talking about. She made a New Year's resolution December 31st, 2010. She said, I am going to turn my life around. I'm going to change my ways. I'm not going to do fill in the blank next year. And she's already broken it here on the 3rd. Allison, thank you for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Welcome to the new year.
2011.
All right. What was your resolution? What's going on in your life, Allison?
I was not going to send naked pictures to this guy anymore.
No, this is a problem?
So you had been sending a lot of naked pictures to him. Was he your boyfriend?
Yeah, he has been.
Has been?
Has been.
Meaning he hasn't been lately, but you're still sending?
Yeah, he keeps asking. I have a hard time saying no.
Oh, you're the best ex-girlfriend ever.
Look, it's hard for us to judge a topic like this unless we're able to see, you know, the evidence, you know, that's been presented. Yeah. So if you were to send us one of those photos, I'm just saying then we could fully appreciate what you're trying to do.
Well, first of all, that's true. I mean, you can't look, if you're a doctor, you have to examine the patient.
Right.
Let's be honest. But Allison, what's going on if you guys are broken up, you're not together anymore, and he keeps asking for naked photos? What do you suppose it is that makes you keep sending them?
You know, I guess I'm just still really into him. I'm paying more attention to him than he is to me.
Right.
And I figured, why is he going to treat me any better if I keep making it so easy for him to treat me the way that he does?
Which right? is okay. which is good thinking.
Yes.
So then you say, not going to send the photos unless he starts treating me well. And then how long did it take?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. So 12:03, January 1st, 2011. You sent him a naked picture.
Yeah.
Were you drunk at the time?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
Wow.
Okay, last question for Allison. At 12:03, did you strip down and take a photo and send it to him, or did you already have a naked picture and then you just decided to...
I already had 287 naked pictures in the last week. Wow.
Well, I think the only way to judge this, and you don't have to send all 273 or whatever. I mean, if you sent 20, you know, that probably...
Why aren't you running a website?
I'm sorry, which one of us? Kevin.
Lisa, if I can have one of Lisa, you can have all of them.
Oh, done. All right. Done. We'll take care of her. We'll hold Lisa down. We'll take a photo right now.
Do it.
Allison, you're the best person in the whole world. You're my favorite person of the new year. Thank you very much for calling.
Happy
we appreciate
new year.
It.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you as well. All right. Let's try Leslie, line 8, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number to be part of the conversation here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Leslie, we're talking about broken New Year's resolutions. What happened?
I swore I wouldn't play Farmville anymore. My family can't take it. I'm so addicted.
Oh, Farmville.
How are you going to live without Farmville?
I may have to kill myself because I started last night.
Oh,
Explain to people who aren't familiar with Farmville, which I believe is a Facebook game.
It's a Facebook game.
Explain
it's
to people.
Not one iota of brain cell.
Right. Explain to people the excitement of it, the joy.
My God, I have a farm and I get animals and I have a million friends that I don't know.
Right.
And
they
send me gifts.
Do you kill ninjas or do you fight off animals that are coming to try and get your cattle? Any of that?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Just plants.
I just built this stupid farm.
Leslie.
This is Dave.
This is Dave.
Dave, the king of my show.
I want to try to help
producer.
You out. I want you to be my neighbor. Add me.
And cool.
I'll fertilize all your crops.
Whoa, are we going to talk? What are we talking about here?
Farmville. Yeah.
Oh, Farmville.
You
okay.
know, I'll send you all the materials you need.
Oh, right.
I'm on it all the time.
But you're not helping Leslie.
Yes,
she wants...
I'm so far into Farmville.
Yeah.
Leslie.
I mean, it takes like 3 hours a night to do my
Leslie,
farm.
I'm not kidding. We, on this show, we'll go, oh, we got to go in and ask the King of Mexico for something because we need something for the next break. And we walk in there and he's, you know, harvesting his corn. We're going, come on. What are you doing with your life?
It's a sickness.
It is
when
the
I
lamest.
I could have been on the treadmill for those 3 hours. It makes me ill.
Yeah. Maybe you should. Maybe you should be on a treadmill.
I know.
I think it's stop it time for you in the Farmville. Thank you very much for the call. Let's do one more. We got Liz is on line 4 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's enough from you, King of Mexico. Go back and harvest.
Dave, I don't think that you helped. Wanting her to
I know you didn't help.
I totally helped.
All right. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good New Year's resolutions that didn't quite go as well as planned.
Well, I was going to stop eating cheese, and I was going to stop eating bread.
Cheese and bread. What? Now, wait. Why? You're a vegetarian?
Yeah, I'm vegetarian,
okay.
but I'm trying to go vegan.
Trying to
so
go
I
vegan.
Need to okay. stop eating cheese.
Okay.
The thing is, I work part-time at a pizza place.
Ooh. Mm.
Well, that seems like a not a fit.
No, because I was working Saturday afternoon, and I was cutting up all these pizzas, and then I got really hungry, and I made one.
Well, that's going to happen. How is it a diet thing? I mean, is it because you're trying to lose weight, or is it just because of the animal factor? What's going on? Why do you want to be vegan? Because that seems like a very, very tough way to go.
Well, I've been vegetarian 8 years, but I'm a bad vegetarian. You know, the ones that eat, you know, just pizza and grilled cheese sandwiches and fries.
Right. You do the best you can, but you can't do it 100%.
No, but I mean, I just have bad eating habits, so right. I should be. I'm trying to be a good vegetarian and stop eating cheese and eat more, you know.
But then you can't work at a place that serves cheese. I mean, if you like cheese and you're trying to cut it out, maybe not working there is step one.
I know. But I was vegan before when I worked there.
Okay,
that makes no sense.
I'm trying to get back to it, but it just didn't work out for me.
If it's
but
got it's troubles.
Listen, if it's protein you're looking for, I've got an alternate source.
Yeah, okay. Man.
All right. That's
Kevin,
fine. What are you talking about?
Kevin.
What?
Patton Oswalt, next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Ralph Garman joins us at this time every hour for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Maybe Patton Oswalt. Maybe not.
Is he not here yet?
As of right now? As of this moment?
Yes.
Not so much.
Patton Oswalt is not, when you look up reliable in the dictionary, look, his picture is not to be found.
He's funny. He doesn't have to be reliable.
Very That's funny. Right. Been very good to the show.
He may be on the way for all I know. He may be walking through the doors as we speak. Just when I walked in here, I noticed someone was saying, he's not here yet.
Right.
Or
he could be sound asleep and blissfully unaware that this has been booked.
That's
correct.
Also,
yes. Both of those are possible.
Which is probable, I would say. I'd go 70-30 on that one.
Just saying. Don't get people's hopes up.
All right.
Because it may not happen right away.
Okay.
Maybe later in the show.
Right away, you mean later in the show, you mean like next week.
Well, that's later in the show, isn't it?
Okay.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to mention that people have been emailing and calling about those passes I promised you for the Green Hornet premiere. I will have them for you tomorrow all morning long. Apparently, I gave away too many earlier this morning, and now we're out. But we'll have them all week, so I will give you more passes to the world premiere of The Green Hornet at Grauman's Chinese Theater tomorrow. Every Showbiz Beat during the show, I promise.
Ralph gave them away prematurely. Got too excited.
I did. Well, it's a new year, new tickets. Oh, Green Hornet! And next thing you know, my stinger went off. Just like the Green Hornet's stinger. With Kato.
Right. Hey. Got it.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Little Fockers, still number one. People, I'm telling you, here's your chance. This is your chance. It's a new year.
That's a funny movie.
I'm saying, here's your chance.
That's funny.
Use a little discretion in your movie going.
That's a funny movie.
That's all I'm saying. $26.3 million kept it at number one this week.
I haven't seen any of the movies in the series, Ralph, but isn't the entire premise of the film just that Fockers is close to another word that sounds like?
It sure
isn't
is.
What the whole movie is about?
It sure is part of its charm.
No, don't be ridiculous.
It's funny, I was doing that show I do with Kevin Smith, and he was saying they had to change the title of their movie from A Couple of Dicks, which is another term for detectives, by the way.
Of course.
They had to change it because the company would not release the film with that title on it.
Right.
So they had to settle for the much less funny or interesting cop-out.
Right.
That's what
they
ended up with. And he said, there's a movie called Little Fockers in theaters right now.
Right, but with an O.
I know how it's spelled, but it's very close. It's so very close to something that is not clean.
But they never use it like that.
No, they would never believe that's part of the humor. True Grit was second. $24.5 million made it number two at the box office. Tron Legacy, Yogi Bear, and Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader are the top five. Then Tangled, The Fighter, Gulliver's Travels, Black Swan, and The King's Speech. Round out your top ten. I know you guys were talking about the Dick Clark rocking New Year's Eve.
It wasn't rocking, but it was New Year's Eve.
Dick Clark rocks, man. Usually back and forth and then drools a little bit. That's how he rocks.
Uh-huh.
But did you catch any of the other television festivities for New Year's Eve?
No, I don't watch TV.
I was busy doing the New Year's Eve show. Smith and I did
a show.
I was drinking and trying to make light. And a lot of people I know were out partying. I assume Bean was home watching television.
Of course.
Did you flip around and watch Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin? Did you?
I caught some of them.
I saw some of that. Mm-hmm. I saw some of Whitney Cummings hosting on MTV. I saw some of that as well.
Oh, did you see Snooki dropped in her hamster ball? Did that happen?
That did happen, yeah.
They put Snooki in a plastic ball and dropped her in Jersey.
Hmm.
Sadly, not into the ocean.
Yeah,
just dropped her. But we missed out, apparently, in this country, the greatest celebration of New Year's Eve of all.
Is that right?
Well, you know what time it is? In 2011, you know what time it is already?
No.
It's time to hassle the Huff.
It's time to hassle the Huff.
Germany?
Huh. Apparently in Germany, Kevin. Yeah. They had a fantastic New Year's Eve celebration.
This is inexplicable. I don't know why people in Germany love David Hasselhoff.
Fireworks
but they
were going off. Noisemakers were being rattled and blown. Jägermeister was being sipped, I'm sure. World wars were being planned, I'm sure, while it was going on in Germany.
I don't think that's part of it.
That's what they specialize in.
I don't think anymore.
So who walks out on stage in Brandenburg, the big celebration for New Year's Eve Germany?
But the man
himself, the only place where he can still get a job.
Yep.
Here comes Hasselhoff out on stage.
I've been looking for freedom.
Yeah.
Since I left my hometown. I've been looking for freedom.
Yeah. High quality recording.
You found freedom. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Germany!
You know what's weird about him? There's nobody happier to be themselves than he is. Like, he loves being Hasselhoff.
You should have seen his crowd when he stepped out on stage. People went crazy.
Wow. David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
Well, that's a good point.
They all started goose-stepping together and throwing their hands up in the air. It was quite the party there in Germany.
I don't think that's part of it.
They started stocking up on weapons. I'm telling you, bad things are brewing over there. Hasselhoff's got a little mustache now. If you don't saw it or not when he was speaking. This is a very uncanny sort of, similar feeling to 39. That's all I'm saying.
You weren't here in 39.
I was. I was covering the National Socialist Party for Time Magazine.
You were not.
Hasselhoff. Yeah. A lot of bad things to say. I don't like it.
All I'm saying is Happy New Year, Germany.
Hey, you got 2011 off to a good start.
Oh, punch you right in the head.
There's something to put in the file. First file offering of 2011. Today's celebrity birthdays. Eli Manning is 30 years old today. He, of course, quarter for the New York Football Giants. Quarterback, actually, for the New York Football Giants.
Quarter.
He's not a full quarterback.
Right.
He is 30 years old. Danica McKellar is 36. She was on The Wonder Years, played Winnie on that show. Jason Marsden, my buddy Mars. He's 36 years old today. You know, he played Burt Ward in the TV movie about the making of the Batman TV series.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Who gives a damn?
I do. Mel Gibson's 55 years old today. And John Paul Jones, bassist for Led Zeppelin and Them Crooked Vultures, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Our former wedding DJ from Northern Virginia, Patton Oswalt, has been located, by the way. He is on his way into the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be joining us, looks like, in about 50 minutes or so. So mission accomplished there. All right, let's talk about NFL for just a second. Very exciting weekend. I love it when you're heading toward the playoffs and you get down to the last minutes of the last day to find out who's going to be in the playoffs. That's awesome.
But hasn't it been too confusing? I was watching the Red Zone TV, DirecTV, you know, with the football. And Andrew Siciliano, I mean, it's like doing quantum physics to figure out if this team wins and that one loses, but it loses by less than 3 touchdowns, and then this team at least ties, then that team will go into the playoffs. I have no idea what's going on.
It can be very complicated.
I do know that my Arizona Cardinals are not in, and that's been a given from game one. So at least that's clear.
But this is the first time I've ever seen this in the NFL. The Cardinals are apparently forbidden to watch the playoffs.
That's correct.
Not even allowed to watch it on television. And I don't know how bad you got to be for that to happen.
That's correct.
A lot of people complaining about the teams with winning records that are not going to be in the playoffs when a team with a losing record, the Seattle Seahawks, is in the playoffs and gets to be at home against the New Orleans Saints who have to travel to come play them.
Yeah,
what's
ridiculous.
Up with that? It's a crazy schedule, but a lot of people were keeping an eye on the Giants game yesterday and keeping an eye on the Packers game yesterday because those two were going to decide who was heading to the playoffs. And the New York Giants, for the second year in a row, did not make the playoffs. And that doesn't happen. I mean, I think of the Giants as being perennial playoff teams.
Yeah, sure.
2 years in a row, they're not in it. And no one can be sadder than the birthday boy himself. And we're happy to have a good relationship with quarterback Eli Manning, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Eli, what's going on, buddy?
Hi!
How are you, man?
Hi.
Happy birthday.
I'm Eli.
Hi, Eli.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you indeed. How old are you today?
I got a new helmet.
You got a new helmet?
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. Just my walking around helmet, though.
Oh, not your football helmet?
No, for when I ride the bus.
Right. Eli has to wear a helmet all the time, not just when he's playing.
Yeah. It helps shape my head.
Right.
Yeah.
You are 30 today, is that right?
I'm 30.
30, yeah.
30, right.
I'm also 10.
Your 10 is your number on your uniform, right?
Yes, that makes me 40.
No, it doesn't.
No, you add them up.
You don't add
them. Nope, it doesn't work.
Like, I have four fingers up.
That's right, but that's
doesn't work.
That isn't how it works. We can't see you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, Eli, I'm glad that you're on today because I know sometimes you get confused. You understand that you won the game yesterday, but you're still...
Yeah, who's next?
Well,
we
that's
beat the Redskins, and next week we take on the next people.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to make sure you understood. Is even though you won yesterday,
right.
You don't.
I understand. We won, and so we go on to play the Pilgrims.
Nope.
There's no team called the Pilgrims. Maybe you do play them.
We play the Redskins.
You're not in the NFL.
Thanksgiving.
But you're not in the NFL playoffs as much.
Yeah, you're done. Your season is over yesterday, even though you won yesterday. What happened was...
Don't say we're the champs already. We still have to play the game.
You're not the champs, and you're not going to be because you're not in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, because the Packers...
The
Packers, we don't like that word on this show, okay, Eli? The Packers had
window licker.
They had to lose to the Bears in order for you to go to the playoffs, and that didn't happen.
What?
Well, I think the real problem could go back a couple of weeks, Eli, which is when you lost to the Eagles. I don't know. You were ahead by
a million.
You were ahead by a million points with 2 minutes to go, and somehow they came back and beat you.
That was
an amazing comeback.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
But I think that's what sealed your doom.
Oh,
I
can't believe you brought that up.
Yeah. So,
well, it did happen. Now, what's
at least
it like?
I had a good press conference.
What's it like having Peyton in the playoffs again this year,
what?
And you're not in the playoffs?
Because
the Colts.
In the playoffs?
Of course he is. Yes.
But he was struggling.
Well, he was struggling. Yeah, but then he's come on strong.
Peyton Manning is struggling.
Yeah.
I went, yay.
But you don't want him to struggle.
Yes,
he's your brother.
Yes, I do. Oh, he's so good. He's Peyton Manning. He's better than you are, Eli Manning.
Well, that's all true.
No, it's not.
I mean, not as a person, but as a quarterback.
You know, why are we not in the playoffs if the Seattle Seahawks are in the playoffs?
That's a great question.
They have a losing record.
Yes, because you're
don't
in a very tough division.
Don't tell anybody, but
no, everybody knows. It's a fluke. It's weird.
Know, why do they let them in the playoffs?
That's another great question. I don't know.
Because the NFL loves divisional football for some reason. We don't get it either. But listen, Eli, we hope you have a great offseason, and we appreciate you checking in with us from time to time here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, thanks for breaking the bad news.
Well,
happy birthday to me.
Well, we thought you would know. Yesterday, I'm sure they brought it up, you know, in the locker room. Or
when everyone said goodbye, see you next year, all that.
Press conference, anything?
I figured next year they were mistaken.
They were mistaken.
They meant the next 2011. You know what people say that as a joke? Oh, I'll see you next year.
Sure.
So I figured it was a joke.
So you thought next Sunday you're playing again because
yes.
It's next year. I gotcha.
Because isn't New Year's Eve coming up?
Well, yeah, no, it sure is, Eli.
It is in about 363 days. But
oh, they missed that too?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to kiss my wife on the lip.
Yeah,
that's... okay. All
maybe
right,
you should go do that.
She's a girl.
She is a girl.
She is a girl.
She has bumps.
She does.
Yes, she does.
And she's soft, isn't
but
she?
But they're down there.
What?
Oh, those are...
I think they're blisters.
Those aren't the kind of bumps you want at all.
No.
That's unfortunate.
You know, that looked up. All right, Eli, we'll have a good off season.
No!
And what do you mean, no?
I refuse.
To have a good off season?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to be angry.
Okay. You be angry. And watch your brother on TV.
No!
Hi, this is Patton Oswalt. I got to start working out or just making up creepy excuses so no one bothers me again. Like, you know, I absorbed a twin in the womb. There's nothing I can do, man. He's like, if I did crunches, his face would show through.
This is a guy, he's on the King of the Queen.
Got to be a dad now.
Now.
I am a walking, terrible example. That's all I am.
You'll have no incentive to do anything.
She's my fat ass. Well, you got on TV. Who gives a shit?
Especially now, I'm on the borderland of B-word fat, which is, that's the kind of fat where people can tell that you're fat if they just hear you talking. They don't need to see you. And if you say words that start with B, you just give it away. Or you can be on the phone going, I bought the bracelet. And I bought it at Haley Bankston Dinner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, he He does it all, TV, movies, cartoon voices. Now he is a soon-to-be best-selling author with his new book called Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, in stores tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, P.O., Patton Oswalt here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes.
We know him as P.O. now?
Huh?
We know him as P.O.? We don't have time
I'm very busy. I don't have time for all those syllables.
Just P.O.
Patton, yeah. Happy New Year to you.
We have Linkin Park songs to back announce.
That's true.
No time.
That's right, man. We're very busy. We're very busy on this program.
Now, Patton.
How are you, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. How you doing?
We'd like to have an intervention with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
You are, without a doubt, I think I can say this with all honesty, and Bean, back me up on this, without a doubt, the most unreliable guest that we have ever had.
Yeah.
And we've had some doozies.
I know. I wrote down, and I can show you my calendar.
Okay.
I wrote down that I was to be here at 8:30 a.m.
Listen, this is best case scenario.
Oh,
you show up.
I know, I know. The last time I flat out
forgot.
Slept. No, I knew. I went. That was one of those things where I went to bed the night before. I'm doing Kevin and Bean tomorrow.
Right.
I can't wait. They'll probably let me sit through the
showbiz.
Yeah, showbiz.
Not anymore.
Beat. Not anymore. No, I've lost that privilege. They made me give my medallion up at the door. And I absolutely overslept for a thing that I was looking forward to doing.
Well, and then the two times before that.
Oh, did I like come in late before?
I'm not kidding, dude. I don't know. I'm just guessing here, but I don't have the greatest memory. So, Bean, maybe you can help me out.
I think Patton is 50. He's 50-50. That's what he is. He's old 50-50.
I'll bet there were three times last year where he didn't show and B didn't call. At least.
Now, I was getting nervous yesterday because it was Patton Oswalt Eve, which is a holiday at my house. And so Patton was tweeting something. I thought, oh, great, I caught him online. So I tweeted you, hey, is it true you're going to be on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow? We're really looking forward to seeing you. And I thought that would, like, jar his memory a little bit or something like that. Well, I don't know if Patton, I don't know if you saw it or not. You didn't write back, so I just assumed that you had no idea who I was or that you were going to do this show.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's all right.
I knew I was doing it in my mind at 8:30 a.m.
That's fine. We're happy you're here.
You know, you can come anytime you want.
Think of me as the George Jones of radio guests. Is he going to show? Well, was that too old for your listeners?
What is that? No Show Jones.
No Show Jones.
Oh, that was his nickname?
If anyone listening, I'm 61 years old.
try to bring it up within the last 30 years.
I'm the Amy Winehouse.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Of
what does funny man Patton Oswalt do on New Year's Eve? And does everyone look to you to bring the hilarity for the party?
Yeah, they look to, hey, where's Mr. Party?
But do you work?
My pants fold out into a dance floor, and my shirt shoots off firecrackers.
Do you work, or do you just hang out and go to a party?
Usually, I've worked almost probably like the last 10 years, but these last 2 years, I've just not done, for some reason, I lost the... Just not in the mood, because you basically end up babysitting a bunch of drunks for 20 minutes while they wait for the countdown.
My problem with New Year's Eve is that it's drinking 101, it's partying 101. It's all the people who are bored during the year and don't have excitement. So they have to go out and they have to have, and then those people are too much work. You know,
they don't know how to do it.
Correct.
They think that, I got it. Give me something to make noise with. No, let's all just sit and drink scotch, and you don't have to destroy something.
How everybody isn't having this much fun.
Yeah, I need to start off the new year in a physical and mental deficit. Yeah, it's the kind of people that they want to start 2011 on January 3rd.
Yes.
When that's when they finally start getting moisture in their body. So, just for some reason this year, we went to a friend's house who had a party that started at 5. It was a married friend of ours with kids, and it was all these people with their kids. And they're at 8
o'clock.
Are
they 80? Starts a party at 5 on New Year's Eve?
Kids.
People with kids. Yeah. And then at 8 o'clock, everyone just left. And then we went home and put the baby to bed. And I was sort of, we were sort of laying in bed. And then I think I fell asleep around 11:30. And I was woken up by the gentle sound of gunfire in the hills.
Yeah, that's
nice. Oh, it's 2011 now.
That is nice. If they shoot the weapons.
Hey, stayed up longer than I did on New Year's Eve. Well done, Patton. 11:30. That's pretty good.
That's right. What time did you go to sleep?
I was probably around 9:30. About 9:30, something like that.
But wait a minute. Let me just ask you a question. Because Bean has the East Coast feeds. Bean lives in Seattle, for those of you that don't know. He has the East Coast feeds, so he probably watched the ball drop.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
At 8:30.
And then he got all sleepy.
And then it was like, whoa.
This is that I was done.
I need to go to bed. It's late.
Yeah, he watched them drop Amy Winehouse in the hypodermic needle.
Right.
Into the... into the Thames, as it were.
Patton Oswalt is here on the Kevin DeMean Show. Before we break and come back and talk about Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, which is Patton's new book that comes out tomorrow, and before we talk about the geek revolt that's going on as a result of your article in Wired Magazine, by the way, I've never seen someone get turned on faster than you have. Before we talk about all of that, I want to give you a quick reminder for our San Francisco listeners on the great Live 105 on the Kevin DeMean Show here today. Patton is going to be in San Francisco tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the Herb's Theater on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. What are you doing up there? I know it's a benefit for 826 Valencia, but is it going to be stand-up or show-and-tell or what?
Well, it's like a
show-and-tell.
It is, yeah. I'm going to bring in some interesting shells that I found down on Zuma Beach, and then a couple of a pipe cleaner and googly-eye acorn friends that we're going to meet.
Some bendy straws.
Some bendy straws. No. I mean, basically, I think it's a guy. It's stand-up, except it's not my act. It's a guy interviewing me about my book, and I'll try to be charming and funny.
Okay.
And also taking questions from the audience.
In San Francisco at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Yeah. Go to PattonOswalt.com for all the details and to get your tickets. And we'll talk more with Patton when we return right after this on the Kevin DeMean Show.
That was Ace of Base, Don't Turn Around, at the world-famous K-Rock.
The great Patton Oswalt in studio with us here on the Kevin DeMean Show. You can see him in San Francisco at the Herbst Theater on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. That's going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tickets just $20, by the way, which seems like a value. And if he shows, it's really a value. Go to PattonOswalt.com.
Zombie riding mower.
Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. Sounds like some sort of military code that means something that I just don't understand. But that's the name of your new book that comes out tomorrow.
Your book publisher was nice enough to give us a copy of it 5 minutes ago. Yeah. So we don't know.
So you thumbed it.
We don't know what this is.
By the way, I didn't think about Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. That does sound like that radio alphabet.
Yes. You know? That's exactly what I thought it was a reference to,
India,
right?
India, Foxtrot.
Right. It's not?
No, it's my autobiography done as a series of comedic essays. My partial autobiography, moments from my life, and you could sort of see me growing up out of chronological order. It's very I'm a very confused old man.
Was it too difficult to put it in chronological order?
Had it in chronological
order. That seems normal.
But the publisher was like, no, let's scramble this up a little bit.
You mean like they do in a movie? Like in a movie where they go 3 years ago?
Yeah. Okay, that's what he wanted to do. So, and I said, hey, he's done more books than I have. So
now, why'd you want to write a book, Patton? Huge paycheck?
Yeah.
Because that's where the money is writing books.
Oh, I know. It's a young industry, and it's exploding right now. I mean, right. Once this internet gets out of the way, all the kids are going to be reading books. I'd started off wanting to be a writer, and then, you know, I became a stand-up, and I kept writing stuff online, and then started getting magazine work, and then an agent said, hey, why don't we pitch you to different publishers? So I met with 11 different publishers in New York over 2 days, and
wow.
I went with.
What was that like? Who was the a-hole of the group?
I don't want to say.
You won't have ever heard of them. It doesn't matter.
It's funny to get him in trouble.
No, I don't remember the guy's name. I'm just talking about. I don't want to write off the whole company because for all I know, they just sent a bad guy out to talk to me.
Right. Company sent a bad guy out to talk to me?
I don't want to say.
Come on now.
What does it start with?
I'm not going to say. If they,
does it because, start with Doubleday?
But this guy, I would meet with people and they would go, yeah, we read your stuff. This guy, it was like something out of a Coen Brothers movie. He would sit at this table. He had a little notebook and he said, so you want to write a book? I go, yeah. All right. And he wrote something down this little notebook.
He wants to write a book.
What kind of a book would you maybe want to write? I don't know, something kind of like humorous but autobiographical. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're in your shrink's office.
Yeah, like, am I leaving some sperm at the end of it? What's going on? It was the.
It sounds to me
meeting.
Like it sounds to me like every one of his responses was meant to make you feel stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a great idea.
Oh yeah. Oh, we have a clown coming in here from Caroline's Comedy Club. Let's see what. Does Clowny want to write something? I don't know.
That
don't
should
know.
Be the name of it. Clowny wants to write something.
Clowny wrote a bookie book. Yeah, I don't know what our word rate is for finger paints, but we can. So, yeah, that was a really weird meeting. But then I went with Scribner because they published Stephen King. So there you go.
Now, why is there a geek revolt that I'm being told about? What's happening? What's happening with why do the geeks all of a sudden hate you? Because aren't you the king of geeks?
I think I'm one of the high dukes. There's bigger kings. Like I would say Kevin Smith would be closer to the throne.
Right. But I would. But you're a knight.
Yeah, I would say I'm in the court with a snuff box and a powdered wig.
Sure.
And a box of bonbons up in my opera seat going, oh, the prequels are so boring. But yeah, I basically wrote a thing for Wired just saying that the geek culture kind of needs to die so that it can be reborn as something fresh. Because all that seems to be happening right now, except for a few instances, are it's just stuff either being remade or retooled, or they're just slapping things together that have already existed, and there's nothing like original that seems to be cropping up. And also, the fact that everyone can become an expert about everything instantly.
Well, you don't have to be an expert. You can just write a book.
But
you know what I mean? Saying you're an expert.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can go on Wikipedia, and now I know everything about Doctor Who. Now I know everything about Judge Dredd. Now I know everything about the... You know, the Harry Potter, like, there's not that waiting for things to come
there
out.
There used to be an investment of time and a real commitment to understand a subject thoroughly. And now you're saying everything is available to everybody all the time. And I think the other thing that you brought up is that there's no such thing as a geek pocket anymore.
No.
Because once something is out there any place in the world, it's now every place in the world.
Yeah.
And you find out about it in the tiniest little town in Florida at the same time you find out about it in London.
Exactly. And people are so savvy to whatever's new and weird that it immediately gets co-opted and put onto things and reused. And so it's a little like I want it all to burn to the ground so that we have to just be all original for a while.
All right. I have a question.
All right.
Was it Random House?
It was not Random House.
All right.
Why do I feel like he just printed up a list of the American publishers?
Of course he did. Believe me, Kevin's not coming up with names of publishers off the top of his head. That's all, Mike.
How dare you?
Does it rhyme
with McGraw-Hill?
So, Patton, what needs to happen? I mean, you want something to come out and then be immediately destroyed so that people could only have ever heard about it and not actually see it? It needs to now be...
You're
trying to create something that's cult now, and that's almost impossible to do.
It is impossible to do. I would love it if a great movie came out, like a Star Wars or Matrix level, you know, like the next geek signpost, but then there's no behind-the-scenes stuff, there's no deleted scenes, there's no commentary. It's just that thing, and people will really have to be forced to actually talk about it on their own terms rather than also knowing every little thing about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. It does make sense, and it's interesting you should bring that up because I just watched Inception again over the weekend.
Right.
And what a phenomenal movie. I mean, what a great movie.
Ah, good.
And then I read that the Blu-ray is out where the filmmaker, Christopher Nolan, takes you through how he did all the special effects and all of the stuff that goes on in the movie that blows your mind. And I thought, do I want to see that?
Yeah,
or does that take away from the experience of how awesome it was? I don't know.
I don't want to hear commentary tracks. I don't want to see deleted scenes. They were deleted for a reason.
Yeah. If they were good, they'd be in the movie.
They took them out for a reason.
Yeah.
They did that Art of Star Wars thing that went to museums and traveled. And so they had the Darth Vader costume, and they had it in this case where you could only get so close to the case, and they would only turn the lights on it for a couple of seconds and then turn the lights off because they're like, we don't want you dwelling on this thing and looking at every little detail because then it loses its power and magic. It kind of loses its ability to strike fear if you can look at every little button and control and go, oh, well, now I know what it looks like.
Doesn't it lose that power when you realize that it's not a real person?
But no, because I think symbols can be just as powerful as reality if they're used right.
So you have to run down a hallway and then glance, and you'll see Darth Vader for 1 second, and then you have to keep running.
Yeah.
Okay.
That can haunt you for a long time, man. That can really haunt you.
People are weird, Patton.
Yeah, thank you.
Your people are weird.
You know what? I want all geek culture now to be that looking into the hotel room in The Shining where the dude is in that costume and the other dude is on the bed sitting there, and you see that for like 2 seconds.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That's one of the creepiest things ever in a movie.
Patton Oswalt is here. A zombie spaceland, spaceship wasteland, sorry, comes out tomorrow everywhere.
Everywhere.
And Patton is also going to be in San Francisco tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And it's the 30th annual library events benefiting 826 Valencia. Doesn't sound very exciting, but Patton's going to be there, so that'll be funny.
Yeah.
Can you stick around for the showbiz? Do you mind?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be like that snap into the Slim Jims guy in the library. That's what I'm going to bring that to it.
Good.
You know, biting meat and dust. I guess he's going to fly off the shelf.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
We've been saying for years it's the saddest way to ring in a new year, and that's with poor 85-year-old stroke victim Dick Clark. But we have highlights of the annual broadcast coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Patton Oswalt in the studio. Ralph Garman now joins us. Time for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Now they just wait for the tapioca to drop out of Dick's mouth at midnight instead of the ball dropping in Times Square. That's when they know really the new year is officially rung. And when his wife Carrie is just dabbing his chin after he's had his late night tapioca.
Yeah. Look, a lot of people get mad at us for making fun of him. He's the one that puts himself
on TV.
He's
the producer
TV.
Of that show. Yeah. He makes the choice to have Dick Clark host.
Yes, he puts himself
Dick
in
Clark,
that
the
position.
Producer, should say, I don't think Dick should host this
right.
show.
Right.
He should say that to someone in the office.
Right.
But and when he gums his poor wife at midnight, that's hard to watch. No one wants to watch geriatric sex. Right?
I sort of get turned on by that.
even healthy, spry geriatrics, I don't want to see making that. Let alone just half of his face kissing her. I don't want to see that. Anyway, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Little Fockers is still number one, and deservedly so. Is there any funnier title in the world than Little Fockers?
Patton, how come you can't get in good movies like that one?
Yeah.
I just... Oh, wait a minute.
See?
I just
Fockers.
Outdone that. Oh.
See what they're doing?
Three films later, Patton finally got it.
I gotta go. I gotta go watch those again.
All of them.
Yeah. I don't hear Barbara Streisand talking about her film career anymore, about what a director she is and how much she loves the art of filmmaking. Yeah. She keeps making the Focker movies. $26.8 million, I know you do. True Grit. Now, there's a movie I can get behind. Have you seen True Grit there?
I loved it.
How great was that film?
A friend of mine said that Jeff Bridges sounds like whenever I try to impersonate a drunk person in that movie. And he's still amazing. He's absolutely amazing.
$24.5 million made it number two. Tron Legacy, speaking of geek culture. You didn't care for it?
I didn't get a chance to see it.
You are no longer a knight of geeks or whatever it is.
Prince of geeks. I've been kicked down to just a mere dukedom.
Yeah. Yes.
I lost my earl.
You're now a marquis.
Marquis. You know what? It's hard to watch that note thinking of all the geeks that died waiting for it to be made. Because they do an in memoriam role before the movie, and it's a huge bummer.
It's a long list.
It's a long, long list. Yeah.
Yogi Bear was fourth.
No.
Enough said. The Chronicles of Narnia, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader was fifth at the box office this week. And then Tangled, The Fighter, Gulliver's Travels, Black Swan, and The King's Speech rounding out your top ten.
King's Speech was amazing.
How brilliant
was
that?
It was amazing.
Sad news for movie fans. Oscar-nominated actor Pete Postlethwaite has passed away at the age of 64 years
old.
Who is that? I don't know who that is.
He was in The Town.
He was in The Town, played the florist in The Town. He played... Fergie in that movie. Remember
he was really
the head of the mob, the Irish mob that they
Real
were
evil.
They had to deliver.
Kevin will remember him. He was Kobayashi's head assistant in Usual Suspects.
He was Kobayashi.
Oh yeah,
Kobayashi in that movie.
He was the guy who they were trying to plant the idea in the Inception. He was the old man who was dying in Inception.
Yeah, he was old dude in bed.
All right, well
he was Daniel Day Lewis's dog.
How's it a surprise he's dead then?
Yeah. In the what the hell was the name of that movie? The Name of the Father.
The Name of the Father
was in that. He was Oscar nominated for that performance. He was in Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World. He was in that. Steven Spielberg called him the best actor in the world.
Wow.
Take that, Harrison Ford.
And this is a guy who worked with Short Round. This is a guy who worked with that kid from Goonies. So that's saying something.
Hold on to your potatoes.
Dr. Jones, no time for love. Dr. Jones. I don't know what I'm saying.
We can't understand you.
Those mining cars. Get those done, man.
Speak up, if you can speak up.
Mr. Ford. Sorry, Mr. Ford. Could someone adjust his lavalier? I think it fell.
Volume.
It fell.
Oh, come on. How can Discovery Network let us down like this? Did you hear the news over the weekend?
I don't think so.
I'm afraid so.
Discovery Channel UK was supposed to air the Michael Jackson autopsy special.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, but now they've decided not to air it.
Meaning they would actually show it?
Well, guys, no, sorry. I would love to hear that. I have to call the caterers and cancel some party. How do you cancel an Evite? Can you just send that out to everyone that it's not happening?
Yeah, you just have to send it again, saying it's been canceled. Discovery Channel UK was going to do a recreation of Michael Jackson's autopsy.
What? A recreation?
Yes. Well, look, Michael Jackson impersonators need a gig, too.
Wow.
I just landed a gig. I'm Michael Jackson laying on the slab.
That might have been the best, worst TV show ever.
It was in pretty bad taste, especially the ad. I don't know if you saw the poster for the upcoming special or not, which was a body with a sheet over it with just the arm hanging off the table.
No.
And a glove. Wearing the sequins glove.
No. Oh, the Michael Jackson autopsy recreation with Nathan Lane and Dame Judi Dench.
The nose on the floor.
So,
that's awesome.
They have pulled that air date. It was going to air January 13th in the UK. No date was given for a United States premiere.
Is there no place we can go for bad taste now?
I guess not. Apparently, a lot of people were shocked that they would even consider such a thing. And the Jackson family, surprisingly, was not in favor either.
What?
Yeah. Wait, you would think they'd be the first to be behind that.
Look, if Joe could make a buck off of it, I bet he would have signed
up.
Yeah. But I don't think it was authorized by the family.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's not going to happen.
Oh. 2011's going to suck.
Yeah, really. 2011! Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. John Paul Jones. Of course, famous military naval leader.
Nope, that's a different guy.
Wait
till
you see the whites of their eyes, I believe, was his famous.
This is the Led Zeppelin guy. The Led Zeppelin guy is who you're talking about here, Ralph.
No, that was John Paul Ringo, I think you're thinking of. He was he was the musician.
Oh, never mind.
Led Zeppelin bassist, also in that new band, Them Crooked Vultures. How cool is it to be 65 years old? Used to be in Zeppelin. Now you're in a brand new band with Dave Grohl.
They have a new song out, by the way, Them Crooked Vultures.
They sure do.
You want to hear it?
That's a good bass for an old dude. That's pretty good.
Doesn't feel like a new year at all, does it?
Nope.
Feels like 2010 all over again.
Squeeze it in. 2011.
No, feels the same to me.
Oh, sorry.
He's 65 years old. Mel Gibson's 55 years old today.
I don't care.
Oh, come on, Mel. It's your own birthday.
I despise you.
Why? I'm just wishing you a happy birthday, Mel.
I just want you to know that your whole relationship with me, everything about you, was an offense to me and offended me. Pissed me off.
He just wished you a happy birthday. Yeah,
just telling people it's your birthday, Mel.
Should we not give him the cake? Or?
I said nothing!
He wants nothing for his birthday.
Not a smile and me.
Well, that's something.
I deserve it.
It does sound like a nice enough birthday, I guess. Look, he's making it very easy for people that are shopping for gifts.
That's true.
He's not one of those guys like, do we get him a gift certificate? Or, like, you know what you got to give him.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Give him a gift card at Hummers R Us. Jason Marsden, talented actor, VO actor, and a buddy of mine. He's 36 years old today. Danica McKellar is also 36. Winnie from The Wonder Years.
Isn't she a mathematician also?
She also is a mathematician.
She's a genius. I think she literally wrote some kind of equation that's named after her.
Who gives
something.
A damn?
Yeah, you're right.
She's written many books on trying to get girls interested in math.
What?
I don't care.
She has. Because she wants more women to get into mathematics. That's one of her causes.
When we go back and we're listening to this and going over it, we're having to justify everything to our boss. Really? Come on now. Help me out here.
Who gives a damn?
And New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning is 30 years old today. Patton, of course, starred in a film about a diehard New York Giants fan. And that character would not be too pleased about the recent happenings with the Giants.
That is not very nice.
Meltdown.
I have a nephew who's retarded and he has to wear a helmet.
Hey, Eli wears a big helmet on the field. I've noticed that. It looks like the great Kazoo from the Flintstones with the size of the helmet he wears.
He's a mouth breather. Admit it.
He is.
Come on now.
Window licker.
No.
He's 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is our first new show for 2011.
Hi, I'm Anna.
What?
2011.
again?
That's all I was asking for. Come on. And our special guest, Patton Oswalt, in studio with us. His new book in stores tomorrow called Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. By the way, one of your fans, Patton, emailed asking if you're signing Kindles because she plans to buy the book on the Kindle. Will you actually sign that?
I would sign a Kindle.
Only
sure.
the screen.
Okay. Yeah.
In a permanent marker.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm glad you're here, Pat, because you said you did not see any of Dick Clark's appearance on New Year's Eve this year.
No, I missed it.
But you're with us on... Look, strokes aren't funny.
No, they're not.
And there are a lot of people who have family members or whatever who have strokes. That's not funny. This is Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Dick Clark had a stroke. Dick Clark is the executive producer and owner of this New Year's Eve. And he insists on being a part of the announcing team.
And by the way, he has been a successful producer for many, many decades.
Yes.
Right.
And you think at this point would know what to put in front of the camera and what not to for a good show.
Right.
It doesn't say party. It doesn't say party at midnight to watch an old man try to talk. I mean, that does not put you in the holiday spirit of the new year.
Do you think he gets a response from his friends like, wow, you know, you're really that takes guts? And I mean, do you think he gets some kind of feedback like that?
Do you think he gets a combination of, hey, that takes guts, or the, hey, dude, look, let me just tell you.
Really, you need to step down.
Hey.
I don't know. Well, I can't imagine what keeps him doing it, but he does.
Also, there's got to be people saying, I don't know if you've noticed what's happened to the world since you have been doing this. They're putting Snooki in a ball.
That's true.
Like that's happening. America's on the way out. Don't have your image attached to this anymore.
Yeah.
You'll be part of the good years. These aren't the good years anymore.
Right.
This
that's
is
right.
the end of the Roman Empire. We're putting Snooki in a ball. So don't associate yourself
and
with
not leaving
anymore.
Her there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
Dick Clark coming back for New Year's is like Brett Favre's last year, which is just, it just does nothing but tarnish the reputation of a great, great person.
It's like Muhammad Ali. You put him in the ring and he gets beat up by a fourth grader and you go, wow, you know what? Yeah, you had a lot of courage for getting in there, Muhammad.
Yeah. You know? There was some kind of documentary about him and that fight that he had in the 80s where he just should not have been fighting.
Muhammad Ali.
It's
Muhammad
sad.
Ali. Yeah. But he's not fighting on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve.
They don't put him in a
point.
Ring and have him,
Here's a little bit of tape from New Year's Eve because I happen to be watching. And, of course, first, before you even get to Dick Clark and the stroke, you got to get through Ryan Seacrest. And that already is enough of a problem.
This is the show to watch. This thing has been on for 39 years in a row. Tonight, this is the only place we're going to see live performances in Times Square, including a special one from New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys.
Patton, I know you're a big music fan, as we are. Can you believe that on New Year's Eve on a major network, the Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block is the best you can do for talent? Bands who, I mean, Backstreet Boys peaked at least 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. New Kids on the Block 20 or 25 years ago. How is that the show?
Is it the original lineup?
Yes.
Well,
then it's a...
Apart from the ones that died from old age.
But then aren't they just openly saying it's a bunch of old men?
We have
two groups of older men coming out and singing. We have two groups of your dads coming out and singing songs from the 80s.
My theory is if a band is any good, they've got a gig. So they're not going to do this.
But I mean, look, they're 40. One of them has boys in the name and the other one has kids in the name.
Well,
and this
true.
Is the entertainment that ABC is trotting out? I mean, what up?
In just a few minutes, all nine of them are going to be on our stage at once. Now, I'm honored once again to be working with one of my heroes, the broadcasting legend who's hosted this television event for the last, four decades. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Dick Clark.
Now, that's the moment where I just take a deep breath and I go, all right, he's had another 365 days to get better. He's probably had a lot of speech therapy since he was on last year. Please, Dick Clark, sound better.
No! Hi, Iran. I'm real happy to be back with you again. And what a wonderful way to begin the new year. 1 million people are here tonight, and a billion are looking in around the world. Don't you dare go away. Fergie.
First he says, thank you, Ron. That's what I like. That's good. And then he ends with Fergie.
Oh,
so I guess they toss the Black Eyed Peas out here, I guess.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. Yeah, Fergie's hosting a party in Hollywood. But you hear that and you go, let the man sleep, right?
Yeah.
But he's the executive producer.
I know. That's that.
So he's making that decision.
It's the whole part of an entertainment career has to be a well-timed exit.
Right.
I'm sorry, I know that sounds mean, but you don't want to end up like,
You don't end up like Bob Hope.
No, but don't you...
Those last 10 years, like, you should have just gone away.
Don't you like to protect your family member? Like, if you knew that your dad talked like that, you would say, Dad, you know, let's keep you out of... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You try to do something.
That's about the only person who would say that to him. I think, and that's the problem.
You're still making money for producing the thing.
Right. That's right.
You don't have
All right, we only have time for one more, but of course, it's the, you know, it's the high point of the whole show is where you have to force an old man who's had a stroke to count in time. You know, you got to... He's racing against the clock. To try to get to midnight.
I hope this goes well.
At least he got the numbers in order this year. Last year he didn't, but here we go.
All right, we are a minute away. Can you feel the booms? The excitement, the energy, the magic is about to happen.
By the way, Pat, not to get off tangent here, but what does Ryan Seacrest bring to a broadcast while we're on the topic?
Well,
he's
guys,
competent, I guess.
So you obviously weren't even listening. He can feel the booms.
Well, whatever that is.
And the man is going to do it for us right now. Let's go to the master. It is the time for Dick Clark to take over and count us down. Dick.
All right, let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year.
All right.
7, 6, 8. 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year!
So that didn't go.
It's kind of sad.
That's quite as well
that's
as planned.
Really rough.
I hope Dick's resolution for 2011 was the release of Sweet Death.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 28 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Hey, party people, you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. The sigh that you just heard is from the great Patton Oswalt, who's in studio. His new book in stores tomorrow called Zombie Spaceship Wasteland. But that's not why he's here. He's just here hanging out because he's a good guy.
And I'm here to sigh.
And you're here to sigh. Yeah. Here's the news story that's burning up the internets today.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying.
Right.
And it's, like, hard, you know, to, like, wake up every day and know that, like, There are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
BB, Arkansas is the place. New Year's Eve, all of these birds, over 2,000 of them, guys, died in the same square mile area over BB, Arkansas.
Hey, Patton, just so you're clear, that was an emo chick. She was explaining why the world is so sad.
Wait a minute, like an emo chick?
Yeah, that had nothing to do with this story.
That's so weird. That just
yeah, right? Because it's so different than emo chicks.
Yeah.
All right, but she wasn't talking about the 2,000 birds that fell out of the sky.
No, she was not.
What's happening with that?
What is happening with that? I mean, in all seriousness, I know, Lisa, you heard one guy on the radio speculating it might have been lightning.
A lightning
might have killed
strike,
a bunch of them. Other people are suggesting that it might have been fireworks on New Year's Eve may have had something to do with it. What do you think, Pat? I mean, what would cause something like that?
I think it's Randall Flagg, the walking dude from Stephen King's The Stand, is passing through BB, Arkansas, and that's why those birds
Look, there's
fell from
lightning
the sky.
All the time.
Yeah.
And there are fireworks all the time. 2,000 birds falling out of the sky. Not to mention very close 100,000 dead fish.
Oh, my second theory is those 1,000 birds read that
2,000.
2,000 birds read that emo chick's poetry.
The birds are dying.
And they all fell out of the sky. Well, they fell to the sky. And what's weird is if they looked on all of their feet, they were cutting themselves. That's really strange. All were cutting themselves.
We don't know what's going on, but we thought maybe somebody closer to the story might be able to shed some light on this mystery. So I guess producer Alex has lined you up with some phone numbers in BB, Arkansas, so we can call and talk to somebody there. There's got to be a lot of speculation, right?
This is lovely dialing music.
Thank you.
And who's going to help more than, I mean, who is this going to help more than the Waffle House?
Exactly.
You're going to meet for days. Waffle House in BB, Arkansas.
This has to be the talk of the town, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to have a theory.
2,000 birds? That's ridiculous. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. Hi there. We're on the radio in Southern California, and we're calling about your bird problem.
Well, let me get you on the phone with somebody who lives in BB.
Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice. Hey, Ratatouille's here, too.
Yeah. It's like a nerve center down there.
It is.
Let me hand you one of the BB correspondents. we have a BB stringer in here. Hang on. He's finishing up his smothered and scattered eggs.
Hi, are you from... I'm sorry. Are you from BB, Arkansas?
No, I am. I just work here in BB. I was told to tell you to call... What is it? Give me that BB phone number back.
No, we just want to talk to you. It's Kevin and Bean, and we're here with our friend, comedian Patton Oswalt, and we just wanted to find out what you know about the birds falling out of the sky in your town.
Like what people there are saying.
Okay, people are saying that them birds got killed because they got scared to death with those stupid fireworks.
Oh, really? Because here's the weird thing about that, and see if this makes sense to you. There have been fireworks every 4th of July all over the country.
They're new blackbirds. They ain't been here very long. That's why they got scared to death.
So because of the fireworks, they didn't hit them or burn them. They just scared them.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I couldn't really tell you why because I don't know why.
Well, come on. No, I mean, we're just you're saying these are new birds. Where were they visiting from? They're new to BB, Arkansas?
No idea. I was just told. I'm just telling you what I've been told all day. Mm.
And the person that told you this, was he wearing a black suit and sunglasses? And is that what they're telling you guys to say, or?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No.
Right.
No.
You didn't have a pen that flashes in front of your eyes, and then you forget everything that just happened?
No, that only happens on third shift around here.
Okay, third shift.
All right.
Third shift.
Have a great day at the Waffle House. Thank you for talking to us.
We appreciate it.
Stay scattered and smothered.
Who else you got? Let's call one more, because that's one explanation, but I bet there are plenty of others, too.
So they're new.
New birds.
They're new birds. Yes. They're new to BB, Arkansas.
She meant young. I don't know.
But again, Kevin, you're right. There are fireworks all over the country several
all
times
time.
A year, and you never hear about this happening. So I don't think that doesn't make any sense.
I wouldn't.
Where are we calling now?
We are calling Chipotle in BB, Arkansas. Try and get some more information on the birds are dying. Because apparently the birds are dying.
That's what I hear.
2,000 falling out of the sky is a ridiculous number. Hey, good morning. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're calling from Southern California. We're on the radio, and we're calling about this story with the 2,000 birds that fell out of the sky. Are you aware of that story? Hello?
Hello? Nice work, Patton.
God, they got to him.
Wow.
They got to him.
The birds got to him, or the... guys in black.
Somebody
all
got
right.
to him.
We'll try another one. We got one more.
Somebody got to him.
Bean, you try. This is the Sonic Drive-In. You try.
What do we say? Why make one call when you can make one call too many? That's what this show is famous for.
Yeah, right.
All right. Final call to BB, Arkansas. Patton Oswalt is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up.
Dude, for all you know, somebody that works at Sonic Drive-In saw the birds falling. You know? And that's possible. Think about that.
Come on.
Come on, Sonic.
Sonic.
Be open.
Hello, it's Kevin and Bean Show. We're on the radio here with your friend, comedian Patton Oswalt. How are you today?
Good.
Fantastic. Listen, BB, Arkansas is all over our news out here with these birds falling out of the sky, and we're fascinated with it, and we're dying to know what the story is, what they're telling you is going on out there.
Actually, we were talking about this morning at work. The only thing that we know is wrong is that they said that something about the fireworks going off.
Right, but do you buy that? Because don't you have fireworks every 4th of July?
Yeah.
Don't you have fireworks New Year's?
I was about to say, that's what I was saying. Like, and they said it put them in shock or something, and that's why they fell.
Who's telling you that? Wait, who's telling you that?
It's just what people said that they heard on the news.
The news.
I was like, well, I don't know, because there's something going around with how we're not supposed to be drinking the water or anything.
Wait,
whoa.
What?
Wait, you're not supposed to be drinking the water? Does that have to do with the 100,000 fish that were dead?
No, that's what I was about to say. Somehow there's 100,000 fish that, you know, died in the Arkansas River. We don't know what's going on.
Are you packing up and getting ready to leave?
No, I actually have a baby that mom texted me and was like, hey, make sure, you know, you don't feed him any tap water, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you know, we don't feed him tap water anyway.
But it's weird because the birds don't come down and drink tap water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they don't come down for a sip.
Listen. They said that there was, like, people in, like, the big white suits, you know, like the scientist people that was outside, picking up the birds and putting them in bags and stuff.
Right.
What?
Like 1947?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, the world's coming to an end.
The world is coming to an end. I think that's an accurate conclusion.
Maybe the Mayans were onto something. They were just off by 1 year.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I was going to say, that's what we were talking about. Me and my sister was talking about, you know, the calendar, you know, ended in, what was it, 2012, right?
2012, that's right.
2012, yeah.
And so, like, we don't know, you know, we were like, well, what are they supposed to do about the calendars after next year? You know, maybe they got it a year off. Maybe the world's going to come to an end this year.
Here's what I like about you. 2,000 birds fall out of the sky. 100,000 fish are dead. They're telling you not to drink the water. You have no plans to leave.
No.
You're good right where you are.
I don't know where to go.
Anywhere else.
It's only Arkansas. This is the only place where all this stuff is happening. We're fine out here.
There's no 2,000 birds falling out of the sky in Northern California and Seattle. There's none in Nevada. Anywhere but Arkansas.
Wow.
Go get, run.
Yeah. We're run to the light. From L.A. There are other people alive out here. Come towards our voice. Follow our signal.
She's living in that little compound on The Walking Dead right now, not knowing what else is happening outside of town.
Yeah. One of the people up here, they said they literally picked up 200 birds just out of their driveway.
Oh, wow. Gosh. That's awful. Yeah.
Now, if the walls start bleeding, do people get a discount on their lunch? Or what's going on?
I really don't know.
Well, I'm very deeply in love with you and your daughter, and I hope to marry you if you survive all this. So we appreciate you talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank all right. you. Okay. Good luck.
Good luck. Stay in there. You're going to die.
That's going to become like that grocery store in The Mist. They're just going to have to barricade that place. That's right. Monsters are going to come out.
Good
she sounded so sweet.
She did. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is
It's
9:46.
Look, I know a lot of people show up on the first work day after New Year's and they still sound a little bit baked, but Kevin, seriously, this is now starting to be troubling to me.
I went to see The King's Speech, that movie, and I was thinking to myself, what's the big deal about that?
I mean, he sounds fine to me.
I got a worse problem than he does, and I've held down a job for 20 years.
All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, our first new show back for 2011.
2011!
And Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You guys, by the end of the year, I predict, you will have that down. You will have
Ming.
That will be evened out, and that will sound...
2011!
Sound crisp. Tight.
Ooh.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to give you an idea what people were enjoying at the movie theaters. Little Fockers was number one. I'm not sure if people were enjoying it, but they were going to see it. $26.3 million worth of business it did this weekend. True Grit was second at the box office, $24.5 million.
Kevin was disappointed how westerny that movie was, Ralph.
A lot of cowboy hats,
they
told
did have
us
a lot
earlier.
Of cowboy hats. That was a
horses and guns.
A lot of dirt.
How about when they meet up with that doctor, that frontier doctor wearing the bear on his head?
Yeah, I fell asleep during that part.
Are you kidding me?
I was a little tired.
You fell asleep during True Grit?
Yeah. We saw two movies that day. I fell asleep during both of them.
You are a bad moviegoer. What a waste.
What am I supposed to do?
Not sleep when you're watching movies.
I was pinching myself, sticking my head out the window, everything. I don't know how to not...
You're sticking your head out the window.
You know, when you fall asleep and you're driving.
It's a joke. When you're driving, you're trying to keep yourself awake.
Oh, I see.
Come on now. All I remember is going to see Death of a Salesman on Broadway
that
with
was
Kevin.
Because that was Death of a Salesman.
Starring the great Brian Dennehy as Willie Loman. It was a smash hit of Broadway at the time. And we went to a matinee, and we sat down and started watching the show. And even before Willie got into it with Biff, I just remember hearing...
It was nice and cool.
Kevin just sawing logs.
And we'd been out the whole night before drinking.
Yeah.
Maybe
one of the
was
greatest plays in American theater.
Maybe that was a bad choice for me. Maybe I should just go and take a nap.
Back to you. Tron Legacy was third, then Yogi Bear and the Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, rounding out the top five. Then Tangled, The Fighter, Gulliver's Travels, Black Swan, and The King's Speech, bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
As it were. Sad news for movie fans everywhere. Oscar-nominated actor Pete Postlethwaite has died at the age of 64 years old today. He received an Academy Award nomination for his work in The Name of the Father, 1994 film he did with Daniel Day-Lewis. Was also in The Town most recently, playing Fergus Coleman in that. He was in Inception. He was in Clash of the Titans, the remake of The Omen recently, Ian Flux, The Constant Gardener, Alice in Wonderland, the TV movie, Amistad, The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Anything we've heard of?
Dragonheart, James and the Giant Peach, The Usual Suspects, of course. He played Kobayashi in that. He was in the third Alien movie. He was in Hamlet. Just a great, great career. And over 90...
I want to see if he can keep going.
Over 90 films he made before he passed away at the age of 64. Died of after a long battle with cancer, sadly. But I think he would have been... He became sort of a big name star late in his career. I think he would have been a bigger name if his name wasn't Postlethwaite.
Well,
which it took me about 30 years to learn how to pronounce. So
probably didn't
it's hard
help.
To hire a guy. If you can, give me that Pete what's his? Oh, never mind.
Give me number two.
Give me Michael Caine. That's what happened in a lot of rooms, I'm sure. So sad news.
Speaking of Steven Spielberg, who directed Pete in a couple of films, he's a good dude. He was in New York over the holidays and apparently stopped into Serendipity. We've all been there on our little trips to New York, a little jaunt to New York. We go to Serendipity.
Oh, it's an ice cream shop.
They've got that food there that we love so much.
Ice cream.
He was there with his family, and they ordered up just about $200 in fries and burgers and malts and desserts and everything. And when he was leaving, Spielberg spiffed the waiter with a nice crisp hundy. Boom. A little $100 tip. A little boom. A little boom right there. Boom. That's for you. Boom. He said boom right there. Gave it to him. Boom.
Did you say boom?
I'm probably not, but I'm saying that's a nice tip. No Speaking kidding. As a former server, that'll make your New Year's right there. So apparently Steven's a good dude. You know who else is a good dude? Wesley Snipes.
Is he?
He's an imprisoned dude, but he's still a good dude.
Right.
You know, usually while you're serving time, your work is making license plates or doing laundry or learning a new trade. But Wesley, who's currently at the McKean Correctional Facility in Pennsylvania doing time for tax evasion, he's got a different kind of work. He apparently is teaching yoga to the fellow prisoners.
Yoga?
Yeah. He bends over, apparently grabs his ankles, shows them how to stretch.
Where do they do that? In the shower?
Yeah, whatever. You know, wherever there's room, where there's yoga space. Sometimes in the top bunk. I think he's showing how flexible he is. And he's trying to teach the other inmates how to get centered and peaceful and calm through the magics of yoga. And sodomy. So, congratulations. And Colin Farrell has it all, right? He's a big movie star. He's got everything.
Sure.
He's not manscaped, that's for sure. We know that much from his sex tape. But apparently he's very sensitive. He said he almost quit acting after the movie Alexander. I don't know if you saw that or not, but Alexander the Great.
Mm-mm.
Because the reviews were so terrible.
Did he almost quit?
He felt like he could not go on. He was so hurt personally by the bad reviews he was getting for that film.
Baby.
That he said he was going to give up acting forever. He said he would often go into convenience stores and apologize to the clerks for his performance in Alexander when they recognized him.
Wow.
That's how bad. The first thing out of his mouth would be, sorry about that Alexander
thing. Hey, sorry about that whole Alexander thing.
So, but he's pressed on, and now look at him. I don't know what he's doing now, but I'm sure it's
good.
But
look at him.
Yeah. He just had a movie out. He just had something out recently, didn't he?
And I think he has become a lot more discriminating in the projects that he signs up to now. And I think his track record's a lot better in the last few years.
He's discriminating against people? That's not right. You shouldn't do that.
No. In the projects that he's choosing, I think he's doing better now. He's not just doing every script that comes across his desk anymore. And I think that's where he got into trouble.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Giants, is 30 years old today. He's got a lot of time to celebrate his birthday.
Yes, he does.
Not from now until spring training.
You have to say something for NFL parity, how many different teams every year end up in the playoffs. I mean, that is one thing you can look at and go, you know, about half the teams every year that are in the playoffs don't make it the next year.
That Rams-Seahawks game last night was a parody of a football game. I know that much. That was a real parody right there. Danica McKellar.
Oh.
You know her as Winnie from The Wonder Years. She's 36 years old today. Actor Jason Marsden is 36 years old today. Mel Gibson is 55. Nothing, huh?
Nope.
Just thought after all that audio we had last time, there
was 2011.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. And bassist John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin and the brand new Them Crooked Vultures is 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Psycho Body so that we can have people call in and ask how to lose weight without either dieting and or exercising.
And get into shape for the new year.
That's very important to people. We also have director Eli Roth.
Oh, nice.
In the studio we have him, which we're very excited
about. Dark
Yeah.
Beam. This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving, white meat, dark meat. All will be carved. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
In a body
Can't wait.
So
Can't
that's
wait.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Rage Against the Machine. Also, the latest from My Chemical Romance. We got the Dirty Heads, Faith No More, and more after this on K-Rock.